Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, what's happening, kiddies? 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. We'll speak to you. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Carolla, Teresa, what's up?
Let's see, what do we got going today? We got, Emmett Smith, football great.
And dancing great.
And dancing great.
Dancing great, right.
Emmett Smith going to be on the program. We'll play a round of Hobo Power. That's a unit of stink measurement, one of Danny's favorite.
Well, it's one of those ones that you threw at me. I'm new guy. Hey, Danny, we're doing Hobo Power. What the hell is that? And then he just does it. That's why it's one of my favorites.
Well, it's nice because, as I've said, there's a unit of measurement for everything. And, I mean, you think of horsepower and you think of temperature, but, man, dig deep. They got ohm meters and BTUs. I mean, there really is nothing that exists that doesn't have a unit of measurement attached to it. Everything but stink.
Yep.
And now we have Hobo Power. That will be my legacy for my children. Speaking of my children, today is the day I take my son to the cranial specialist.
Oh, yeah, because of the helmet thing?
Going to find out. You know, they send you the... We got a calendar from the helmet company,
right?
Which shows all the happy little kids sporting the helmet, the corrective helmet. There's really, listen. First off, not every business needs a calendar. Look, if you make tools, you want to put a hot chick in a bikini holding a crescent wrench, knock yourself out.
Fireman,
right. Go ahead. Right. Money's going into the fund, you know, for the fallen heroes. And, well, maybe if you're a company that puts out sweaters for poodles, you can make yourself a cute thing. But if you make corrective headgear for toddlers, no need for, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Where do we stop? If you make dental implants and things like that, or if you, your company that harvests pig valves from pigs to put into human hearts, or anything to do with really corrective surgeries or things like that, orthopedic shoes. You know, how about a company that makes those risers over the commode so the old people don't have to drop down?
Calendar
so
right
look,
there.
Do not. Yes, no calendars. Well, if pets, firemen, and tools, and tools only because there's chicks in bikinis.
Do you know why you don't need the corrective headgear child calendar? Because when you look at it, you have no choice but to think, oh, it's corrective head month.
Right, every month.
It's no November, well, it's no October.
Every month
it's just,
is rearrange your skull month.
Is it pictures of each month a picture of a baby wearing its own helmet?
I got to March and just, I said, you know, by most calendars, by March, you get the lay of the land.
Right.
I got to
You're
March.
Not going to flip the page and see some guy from the UFC standing there, or a hot rod, or a chick in a bikini. I knew it was going to be another kid, probably a different color, because by the time...
Sure.
By the time you get to April, you got to toss a black kid in or an Asian kid in. Otherwise, it seems like a racist calendar.
Thing. Only so white kids get bent heads.
January, you'll see a white kid. And then February, a couple of white kids. And then March, you'll see a girl, the worker girl in there. But you're going Asian or black by the time you get to April.
So does this mean you're at peace with the helmet?
No,
because
no.
Because I know what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. My son has a little asymmetry in his cabezas. Head's a little big. One ear's in Burbank, the other one's in Glendale's. Really the best way to describe it.
He has two phones, just so they're all local calls.
Right.
His head is the 134.
He's got two area codes. And the now, we're living in a day and an age where every single kid you know is going to wear braces. There's there's not a human being born. Now, when I say kid, I mean white kid whose parents have some money. If you're born in any part of the world where you just don't have money, then no one's going to have braces. And poor kids are never going to have braces either. But if you have a couple of bucks, then you're going to need braces. Because now we're at this part of life where we can afford everything. Everything exists. And then you're a bad parent because we don't have any real problems anymore.
Right.
I mean, a parent's job in the past, and when I say past, I'm talking about the entire Earth's calendar, except for about the last 2 seconds on the Earth's calendar.
I judge time like this all the time.
Maybe half a second.
A blink of an eye.
Your job was to find food for your kids to eat.
Bring it home in your gullet like a penguin and spit it into your kid's
mouth. Make sure the kid didn't get consumption.
Yes, that's right. Or he or the vapors.
Or to work in the workhouses.
All the other things are or was just dragged out and eaten by feral dogs,
exactly,
you know, in the middle of the night. So it's pretty much about keeping a roof over your kid's head and keeping a blanket wrapped around them and keeping food in their mouth, and that was about it.
Well, aren't those the only three real needs of man? It's like shelter, clothing, and food, right? Those are the three needs.
Yeah, and we'll attempt to keep you healthy, although they didn't really have
that back then.
Ways to do that.
That's a blink of an eye time.
They would chuck someone in a volcano every once in a while just to keep the plague away. But the point
is drop a witch in the lake, and she sunk, she was free.
But now we don't really have those problems.
No.
We really don't. So we, as a society who has money, it's an interesting social experiment. Give people everything they want. Give them food. Give them a store open 24 hours. Give them central air and heating. Give them an airbag inside their car and a Starbucks on every corner. And what happens? Well, now we start worrying about things we can't see. Now every kid has peanut allergies.
Right.
They never had peanut allergies before. Why? We were too busy with bigger things. We work big to small as human beings. We start big. That bear is trying to eat us. We need to run.
Okay, we're at Jamestown and we're eating each other because we're starving and they won't come back on the boat and get us. Real problem.
Yeah, yes. Measles and such.
Right. In Jamestown or
that's a serious problem.
The Donner Party didn't worry about peanut allergies.
Yeah, they're trying to survive the winter.
The lacrosse team just got a snack.
Right. When they were all eating their horses and eating each other, if somebody had found a sack of peanuts, there's not a human being in the Donner Party that would have happily downed a pound of those peanuts. Without one welt, without one hive, no wheezing, nothing. They all would have eaten it, but now it's gone. So now, what do we focus on? Well, we focus on plaque, and we focus on the invisible world. Purell, the diseases being passed, dust mites, what's in your mattress, what's in your peanut butter.
Mold.
We focus on killer mold. Yeah, there's a very good point. Mold. Mold has been around for 10 billion years before the first human walked the earth. Somewhere in 1999, it became killer mold.
Okay, I have a question about that.
It became killer mold, for about 3 years, and now it's gone.
Yeah,
what happened to mold?
That's my question. Okay,
yes.
they had me on that one. I didn't know it went away. I thought, really, killer mold. You have to go out and find if this house has that mold. You can't buy it.
Well,
it
wasn't a real thing. Let's put it this way.
I believe that one completely.
If you check the TV guide go back to 02, 03, maybe 01, every third story on those 48 hours news stories in 2020 was about killer mold.
Right.
When is the last time you turned on the TV on a Friday night, watched a news magazine program, and saw something about killer mold?
Okay.
It's been 3 years.
Point.
It's been 3-4 years. As a matter of fact, it's not really talked about anymore. Why not? Did mold go away? Did we eradicate it? What about all the people that are being sick? Oh, I live in this house. I feel tired. You're depressed.
Yeah.
And you're screwed up.
Uh-huh.
And you're not running from a grizzly bear or trying to find food.
Right.
Thus, you've created mold, and now magically everyone's allergic to peanut butter.
Right. Okay.
That's what we've done in our society. I mean,
that's the answer I needed, though, because I really, out of all of this, because I'm a fairly informed guy, but I bought the mold thing completely.
Well, it's black, and it grows, and it looks like it's taking over your life. But if you think about it, again, the invisible world is just that. It's an invisible world. Everything you eat has something in it. Everything you breathe has something in it. There's not a house that doesn't have dust mites or mold. There's not a hotel room that doesn't have God knows what, God knows where. There's every piece of carpet is giving off something. Every drop of paint is giving off something. Now, you can choose to ignore it and magically nothing will happen. Or you can announce that it is aggravated your Epstein-Barr virus. And now you need to go in for counseling and medication, and you need to take a leave of absence from work. Those people are nuts. It's not the environmental whatever. It's not the mold. It's not the peanuts. It's not any of that. It's them. Now, 10% of them, and I'm being generous, may have a legitimate problem.
Yeah, sure.
The other 90% are fine. Getting back
to... Look what I have done to my particular body. I've been sick 2 days in my adult life. I've never missed work.
Right.
And, I mean, think of the things I've done to myself.
Well, that's...
So it's not like, you know, carpet fibers are going to kill you. I mean, I'm snorting carpet fibers, and fine.
I mean, I think to Adam's point, if you have to work and support a family, you will not find yourself with chronic fatigue syndrome.
No, I will... Not that any Corolla family member listens, but my mother is a good example of somebody, and we all know these people. She's one of these people that drinks about 55 gallons of green tea every day. She's one of these people that, you know, oh, red meat. Boy, I had red meat last night, and I can really feel it the next day. What's going on? Well, I had a poppy seed muffin this morning, so I'm riding a sugar buzz. You know, one of these people that decide what food is making them feel like. I don't give food that much control. I am a steam engine. If it burns, throw it in, and let's boil some water.
Yeah, I have almost I have almost no fear of any of those things.
I know all these people that wax on about how red meat makes them depressed or tired, and about sugar gives them a rush and then bottoms them out. And then, you know, those people ask 150 times, is there caffeine in here? Is there caffeine in here? Is there any caffeine in this thing? Look, you guys are nuts. It's not the caffeine. It's not the red meat. It's your feeble brain. What's weak is not your body. It's your brain. My mother is more concerned with that stuff than anyone I've ever met, about eating the red meat and about doing the tea and about this and that. She's also sick more often than anybody I met. So let's just do the math here, class.
I'm with you.
Bonaducci is smoking through a pot roast. I've seen him actually take a pot roast. He hollows out corridors and he puts his mouth on one end and starts eating his way to the other end. And he puts three or four lit cigarettes in it and he smokes them like you stick a clove into a canned ham. He smokes cigarettes through a hole in a pot roast and he's never sick. And he never misses a day, and he never says, oh, I think I'm coming down with something, or I think I have Epstein-Barr virus, or I think I have chronic fatigue syndrome. Nope. He's fine.
Yeah, this is only funny because it's true. I dropped an 8-ball on a sleeping dog, and it didn't wake up. So me and Scott got down on our knees and snorted 3.5 grams of blow off a dog, and we were fine.
Wow.
What kind of dog was that?
Yeah. A dog that didn't know there was blow on him or he'd have woke up.
A mangy dog.
Yeah.
But we just
jumped
one of
them drug sniffing dogs.
Yeah, obviously.
We jumped a big pile on him. Scott and I just both looked at each other. It was like the 5-second rule with food.
Yes.
There's blow on the dog. We got to do this right now.
You show me a person that's overly concerned with what food in the environment does to them, I'll show you a person that's sick 10 times as much as a chain smoking, coffee drinking, drive through eating guy who wants to get his hustle on.
Yes. Danny had mold spores for breakfast. He's fine.
That's right. He had black mold for breakfast, a cigarette, and a shot of Everclear and asbestos shake. All right. Now, where were we? The point is the kid is going at 1 o'clock today to the cranial specialist to see if he needs a corrective helmet for the cabeza. Now, the helmet, first off, you know this helmet has about as much plastic in it as your basic skateboard helmet, except for it's going to cost $3,700. Oh, I don't know, but yes. Are you kidding?
I would have guessed more than that.
Yes, I'm going low end.
Yeah.
Well, look,
if it comes from a hospital, it's
$10,000. Yes, we're living in a time where if they give you a little neoprene hand brace that looks like it's something you'd wear bowling, that thing's going to be $1,800.
Yeah. Now, you go to Rite Aid and get it, and the exact same thing is $1,195.
Right.
You get it prescribed by your doctor, it's $1,200, $1,300. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
If Ryan's weird head bothered me,
Brian.
And I just went over and squished it till I liked the shape I got, nothing. You put
a
helmet.
Your Schwartz is as big as mine.
You put his head in one of those helmets, $2,500.
I'll say this about
that
Brian's head.
That's the greatest story I have ever heard.
I used to hate it until I started seeing my own reflection in it, and
now
then
you
I
like
started
it.
To like it. Yeah, I look at it as more of a rear view mirror.
Can we move forward?
Than an actual human being. Justin?
Can we move forward?
Hey guys, good morning.
What's
just
happening?
To say that I loved the Zoo Crew bit yesterday. I was dying at work.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, I think
Marty Sinclair.
Marty Sinclair in the air. Best Buy Jetcopter 9. By the way, are there 8 other Jetcopters? You know, they know Jetcopter 3. How many Jetcopters do you own as a radio station?
9.
Okay, Justin, we'll do it again for you soon. I think we'll do it every week.
And especially since you guys got Bonaducci, man, you get, oh, show's gotten so much better. Well, since dude, you stopped crying.
I cannot thank you enough, man.
Thank you, Justin.
You know, it's pretty damn scary being the new guy on a show that people, like, were so into. It's so thank you, man. That makes me feel really good. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. Anyway, there.
By the way,
I technically took a phone call.
That's right.
Score one.
Very nice. I'll write it down. I keep, and I was hiding this until we had our corporate meeting, and I mentioned all my friends on MySpace, and that they answer some of our questions in the stuff, so I don't have to open them.
Right.
And I took, what'd you think of the zoo bit, is what I wrote at the top, and that hits all 20,000 people. And it just clicked by, and 9 out of 10 of probably 4,000 people that answered within minutes was that they loved it.
Well, good. Well, so, that's our mission here on the show. And then what you do, just to be honest, as far as if you people want to know a little bit of a little glimpse into the inner workings of my brain. My brain and my job here is, and this is why things are tough at the beginning, I want to get a what can Adam complain about and a morning zoo bit and a hobo power and whatever else fits that bill. Once you get 20 of those, then you get to just plug them in and mix and match them. And then you get to say, when we come back, we'll be doing what can Adam complain about. And instead of people going, what is he talking about? They go, I'll call him up and tell him what to complain about.
Right.
Then that's when life becomes easy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Except for Angie.
Right.
Because she's got to plug. She's got to write the show every day.
Producer Angie still has to work.
She has to write the show every day now because we've now got 20 solid bits that everybody loves. So at 10 o'clock, we leave the building so fast, we can still hear ourselves on the delay in the hallway. Okay? And Andy's in here going, okay, hobo power, zoo dish.
Well, hobo power coming up today.
She tastes like champagne.
We need to take a break. I'll keep you guys filled in.
Yes, I'd like to know how it goes with Sonny and his helmet.
As would I.
It will go like the doctor will waffle and say, well, if it was my son, I'd do it, but technically you don't have to. Then we'll ride home. And it's simultaneously, my wife and I will say, well, we better get him, and I'll be saying, whoo, dodge that bullet, simultaneously, and then we'll look at each other, and then we'll go, well, he said we didn't have to do it, and then she'll say, he said if it was his kid, he would, yeah, but his kid's a puss, and then then we'll get into that, and we'll be exactly where we are now.
His kid gets it free.
That's right.
What's coming up, Adam?
What's coming up? We were talking yesterday off the air. Danny was, well, talking on the air, but off the air as well about actually going out to be the mascot of Red Lobster, the guy in the lobster suit, and not getting the gig. And by the way, this is tantamount to a super skinny guy with straw hair not getting the scarecrow gig. You know what I mean? I mean, Danny, he's half lobster without the suit. The idea that he can't be the Red Lobster is when he hit rock bottom.
His spirit was crushed.
I will tell you when my spirit was crushed.
All right.
Teresa will tell you when her spirit was crushed, and you tell us when you found out that piece of news. I mean, when you realized you weren't going to make it as a professional baseball player, when you realized the dream was
the
over.
Steroids disqualified me immediately.
Whatever it was, whatever your dream is, whatever you wanted to be, whatever you thought you could do, when you found out you couldn't do it, 866-901-ADAM, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bald and gay, Brian's bald and gay. Does his sound effects for very little pay? We all see his homo tendencies. A neat freak, this super geek, a hairless head, no girls in his bed. Bald and gay, Brian.
They need to shut up.
My new favorite song.
Oh, that was good.
I tell you, we could do a show where we just played all those songs, and I would just sit here and lean back, push
in
the
fact,
microphone.
In fact, never play this again.
Away, and I would just laugh and laugh and laugh. That is good stuff. All right, well, now from good to bad, we're talking about the day your spirit was broken. I guess you can sort of judge a lifetime by how many of those days you've had. If you've had one or two, it's probably a pretty good life. If you've had a gunny sack filled with them, well, maybe it's time to recalibrate your expectation level. We've all had the school counselor. Look, everybody has this sort of fantasy that everyone who's anyone knows they were someone the whole time. It's untrue. I mean, I feel like I have to constantly explain to people, for instance, when I was 28, 29, I was scared to death. I didn't know I was Adam Carolla. I was a schlub carpenter boxing instructor that had three roommates and no car insurance, right, and not a penny in the bank. And a credit card that was secured by the Bank of Hoven, where I give them $500 and they give me $300 credit. What a deal. I knew nothing and was sure of nothing. I would have said I probably will never own a house. I may never own a car that's less than 10 years old with air conditioning. And the list goes on and on. I don't think I can have kids. I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to support them. I don't know if I'm ever going to get dental insurance. I had no idea.
Sure.
And I think people do that. I think they see people whose names they recognize, and I'm not a big celebrity, but they'll look at any name or any person from TV who's either a business person or maybe their producer, maybe their actor, whatever it is, and they'll think, well, they always knew it was them. Somehow, when I was in high school, I was Adam Carolla, but I was Adam Carolla. People knew.
Right.
It was whatever. No, I had teachers telling me to shut up, and I had counselors telling me, well, look, I'm not calling you stupid, but you're averaging a D- and you're not going to college, so you do the math.
I've got a strong opinion on that, actually, because I grew up, even when I lived on the streets, if people didn't know I lived on the streets, I've always been Danny Bonaducci. And the Partridge Family, if you'll remember, it was this big deal.
Right.
So I've done a lot of stuff afterwards. People have always known me my whole life. And I have dated women out of my league my whole life because of my occupation and people's perceived idea that I was successful at it.
Right.
And every girl I've ever dated, and I even said this to Gretchen in a fight early on, every girl I ever dated wanted to be a singer or an actress, and she said, and I've known all my life. And yes. I said, really? The chances are almost nil, sweetheart. She goes, yeah, I know, but I'm the one.
Yes.
So you don't have to be like, I'm a loser at 28, Adam Carolla, and then I became him. I didn't think I was the one. The ones that think they're the one are serving you lunch later.
Yeah, I never thought I was the one about anything.
Yes, I've always wanted to address this because it's the axiom that you always hear that you have to believe in yourself to ever make it. And
no.
I frankly never ever for one second thought I would work for a single day in this business.
We are going to talk American Idol talk next break, and all those semi-retarded people with the thyroid problem that are up there making asses of themselves,
yes,
cracking glass with their voice. They think they have it, and we keep telling people never give up, never give up on your dreams, never let go of your dreams. Well, let go of your dreams and get busy.
If that's your dream, if you have no arms and legs and your dream is to run track or climb Mount Everest, give up on
your
dreams.
Maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe you can, but so what? Don't do it. Don't. Give up.
Give up. Give up and start focusing on a paycheck and a 401k plan.
Learn to roll cigarettes with your lips and join the freak show with the worm guy.
Yes, and
Danny,
also,
hold on. I think that's unfair. I say string beads with your lips. But
all right, fair enough.
And also, if you don't believe in yourself.
But it's only fair because that's the Adam Carolla show. Right. If it wasn't, I'd insist.
I don't think it matters if you believe in yourself. I just think it matters if you suit up and show up and kind of try.
Yes, and people also think that you're just who you were the whole time, as if Johnny Depp, when he was on 21 Jump Street, is the same Johnny Depp as he is now. No, right. He stayed with it, and he honed his craft.
I
give
that lecture about persistence. All the actors I know, you know, we were talking about making it.
Yeah.
You know Wilford Brimley?
I love him.
Well, he didn't do
anything. Nobody loves him.
I do.
They either tolerate him or they don't know who he is.
I love Wilford.
Remember that movie with Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise? He's very good in that.
He's the old guy with the mustache.
Okay. He's
trying
Quaker.
To sell
himself
Quaker Oats. Yeah.
He's not that old. He's getting that old now.
Right.
He's been trying to work as an actor his whole life, and all of a sudden started to look old, and he got his part as an old guy, and he started grooming himself as a really old guy around my age.
Mm.
Gray hair, old fatherly, grandfatherly, avuncular character.
Mm.
But he hung in since he was 17 and moved to California to be an actor.
Tell you, that reminds me of Wesley Snipes, white.
Yeah.
Really?
White guy.
He found a niche.
White guy couldn't find work as a white guy.
No.
Couldn't find work as a white guy. It was, he was, but there's supposed to be two guys, and white guys can't jump. whatever it is.
Right. Adam, did you have a spirit-crushing moment?
Oh, where were we?
Spirit-crushing moments.
Spirit-crushing.
Where would we be without you?
Spirit-crushing moments. That's right. We'll hear yours, 866-901-ADAM. Someone, Larry, on line two, says he has crushed by counselors. Yeah, my counselors.
Counselors are dream killers.
That's their whole job.
The counselors, my high school and junior high counselors, were nothing more than sort of probation officer meets parent that doesn't care.
Right.
I mean, they just kind of come in and be like, wow, this looks bad. All right, well, just look. Go over there and try not to give Miss Valdivia so much lit next time. And that was it. Yeah. There was never any discussion about anything.
You know, that whole brain surgeon idea, there are a real need for ditch diggers. You know, you might want to forget that whole medical school dream of yours. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm nine. I'll bet I can improve.
Well, what about Larry? What did his school counselor tell him, our caller?
Let's find out. Gay. Larry?
Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Although mine was. Yes. Larry?
What up, Larry?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here. 1972, Wilson High School, Long Beach.
Mm.
Counselor Date tells me, mm-hmm. I only met her once for 3 minutes, and I said I want to go on to law school. And she looked at me, and she was real cute, maybe 24 years old, and she goes, you know what? I'd lower your sights.
And
I'm devastated walking out of her office. I'm thinking, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Out of my dream.
I know.
Please tell me you're a lawyer.
Now all the hot chicks at school are nailing their students. It was a different time.
The teachers,
they were breaking our dreams. Now they're breaking hymens.
True. Right.
Oh, I got a whole other story about that, but that's another subject.
But you remember the hot teacher that we saw with Matt Lauer today?
Yeah.
But you notice how he was so hitting on her? She's the same chick Lass Bass, who's gay, lost his virginity to.
Wow.
What?
She's got range.
That all chick's got range.
Well, Larry, did you become a lawyer?
No, he's not a lawyer.
No, I didn't. Thank God.
Why? What do you do now?
I buy and sell businesses. I make a lot more than a lawyer.
Oh, good. All right, good. I'm glad to hear that, man.
All right. So listen. I've had a few.
Just where you know it's over. You know everything you hoped and dreamed for your whole life. Especially... not to make mine, like, it's so important because it happened to me.
Yeah.
But I had it once and let it go. You know, so there was that extra, I know it. It's like winning the lottery and spending all the money in an afternoon and drunk binge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, oh my God.
Well, it's like you spent it over the course of 3 weeks
in
or something.
Binge, yeah.
In a drunk binge.
Pretty close to that.
I had no idea what to do other than something in comedy. When I was somewhere in my mid-20s, and I didn't know how to read or write very well, and there wasn't a whole bunch of cable, this and that. It wasn't like, hey, there's Comedy Central, and people, you can just go pitch your wacky game show format over there, and they'll find a home for it. There was like, you know, there was cable, but not really, and this is, well, we're talking about 1989, so it was like, well, look, you're not sitcom material, and you're not a very good writer, so I guess stand-up is all that's left for you. That's what you did. If you thought you had a good sense of humor, then you just went and tried your hand at stand-up. And I tried my hand at stand-up out here in Los Angeles, but this is kind of busy for stand-up.
Yeah, no, I don't play a lot.
You have to go wait in line if you want to do stand-up. It's demoralizing. You can do open mics.
Right.
And what you can do is you can go down to the comedy... go down to the improv or Laugh Factory or whatever, and then just go stand in line on a Sunday night,
right.
And then you perform in front of 18 other comics
and the friends that they had to bring. You have a minimum friends you have to bring so that the club can make some money.
Yeah.
Like, you can play open mic night, usually, I don't know about the Laugh Factory, but usually you have to bring 5 friends, and they have to drink.
Yes, some shows are called bringers.
Right.
You have to bring a number of people.
Right.
Yeah, and this one, like, you'd go down to the improv and the world's most bitter ex-comic would always run that night. I mean, this guy was mad at the world, I'm sure, as a comedian. Now, to us, he was a deity because he was running open mic night. To any working comedian, he was a pariah and a joke. This guy spending Sunday night working with the screwball comics.
But
this Special Olympics of comedy. So he took it out on everybody. And this guy would get up there and he'd be like, look, you have 3 minutes. At about 2:45, you start wrapping up your act. Now, when I hit you with the flashlight, you tell your last joke and you get off stage. If you don't tell your last joke, if you go into a long-winded story, if you tell two jokes, I will shut the power off and you will be speaking in a dark room with no microphone. Do you understand? Like, that's the kind of thing.
Right.
And then, one of these weird things, too, which is, I always felt weird, even then, even when I knew nothing about stand-up, he'd add in a little of his own philosophy, you know, and tell jokes. No one wants to hear your stories. You know, it's like that kind of thing.
Okay,
like,
then I'm ruined.
Right.
My whole act is ruined now.
So, I said, well, all right, so what you would do is you'd go wait in line, you'd stand up, whatever, and there'd be 35 guys there, but they're only taking 19 guys, and half the time you'd just go home, and the other half, you'd be number 16, and you'd have to walk around the neighborhood for 3 hours, because they didn't have enough money right. to go buy anything to eat or to sit and drink in the club, and just hang out, and then your friends would be like, hey, can we come see you? And you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be on between 5:30 and 10. Tonight, yeah. Like, you'd have no idea.
To spend 4.5 hours of your time hoping to see 6 minutes of me.
Pauly Shore could walk in with a notebook and do 20 minutes
yes.
of a Weezer comedy. And, yes, he could be testing out. And if he stepped in front of you, then he got as
that
much time
yes.
as he wanted. And he chose open mic night as the night he wanted to test out more of the Weeze comedy in front of an audience that was apathetic and didn't care and wouldn't
right.
judge. Oh, so I decide at a certain point, I'm living in North Hollywood. I have my stripper girlfriend, Lindsay.
All right, I love Lindsay. I'm going to be a big fan of Lindsay.
She was hot. Yeah, we're living in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood on Carpenter Street, right across the street from the old high school I used to go to. It was kind of, prophetic, or I don't know what you'd call it, but it was directly across the high school was directly across the street from the football field.
Where and
that's
a star.
Basically where I had my last Good Friday night
yes.
was on that field.
On a Good
field.
Friday night.
Yeah. But it had been...
For Jesus, it was a good Friday. Adam, it was a great Friday.
It had been 10 years at this point since I had a Good Friday.
Wow.
And I used to just take walks and just look at that field at night.
Did you think, see the Friday night lights from your window?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't have a window that faced the neighbor's house.
Friday nights? Is that your night?
I was watching Hots. Point is, we'll get into that one day. Point is, as I walked down, I used to walk down the train tracks and watch them play football. I mean, So I decided, well, you know what I need? I need a change of venue. I need to leave town. I need to go somewhere where I could work every night doing comedy and hone my act, because this open mic thing twice a month, waiting in line, it's not cutting it. I got to get stage time. So I announced I'm packing up my Nissan pickup with the bed, with the vinyl bed seat, no headrest, no air, and no nothing, and I'm going to San Francisco, and I'm going to start anew.
I hope this doesn't make you feel bad.
Oh, no.
But in AA... That's called pulling a geographic.
Yes.
Because your life sucks here. Of course it will be better there.
Yeah, as if it would. And there's a part of me that knew it wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I had a buddy named Zeb.
Sure he did. Everybody's got a Zeb.
And he lived in a crappy house in Oakland with like four people. But one of them was out of town in Europe for like a month or something. He said, I got an open bedroom. You can come here. Obviously pay me $100 or whatever it is, because he didn't have any money either. And you can go here. And my grandmother knew somebody, and this is the only time there's ever been any nepotism in the Carolla family. She knew somebody that owned a comedy club in, like, Gilroy or someplace.
Oh, no. The Garlic Capital?
Someplace. Oh, I don't know if it's Gilroy, but it was 80 miles out of San Francisco. It was across a 300-mile bridge and then somewhere, and it was called Rooster Tea Feathers.
Oh, yeah, I know it. I know it.
You do know it?
Yeah, it's a big comedy
club. Okay, so that's how you do the Garlic Capital of the World? Because I was really impressed.
No,
I don't think it's in Gilroy, but it is Gilroy.
It is one of the neighboring communities.
Sunnyvale, California.
Sunnyvale. There you go. 408.
Far away.
Yep. Yeah.
It's far. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to San Francisco. I am going to audition for my grandmother's, and not close friend, but somehow my grandmother knew some old queen who ran that comedy club. and maybe even picked up the phone or something and said, my grandson's coming out there. Why don't you give him a look? So I came out on a Monday, and on Friday, I was going to do my thing. And then what I was going to do is I was going to impress this person, and then give me a spot. And then 3 times a week, I'd be up there doing my act and be like Tom Hanks.
And Punchline.
And Punchline, and it was going to be awesome. So I nervously got into my... So I packed up all my stuff. And I told my girlfriend, I don't know what the hell, she probably didn't care if I left at this point. I said, look, I got enough money saved up for about a month. I will, you know, I'll call every day. I'm going over there. I'm going to try to set up some roots here, get something going. She was from England. She didn't care where she was. She was working as a temp or something at that point. I said, we're living in a crappy part. I said, let me get things established over here, and then you come out. Right. It's going to be
great. You're
going
to set up a beachhead at Rooster Tea Feathers.
That's right.
The Maginot Line.
So I went, all week I was preparing my material and pacing and thinking about the future. And then about 6-7 o'clock at night, I jumped in my crappy Nissan pickup and started driving towards Sunnyvale. Got over to Rooster Tea Feathers. You know, it was like, it wasn't a big night. You know, she wasn't giving me, you know, wasn't doing a Saturday night, you know, prime time spot. But it was a big club, and there was 80 people in there, and they had the whole, you know, whatever. They brought me up. I did about 8 minutes of semi-crappy, uneventful, unimaginative, jokey comedy to mixed reviews and a smattering of applause. And she sort of gave me the, okay, thanks, but no thanks speech as I was leaving the club. And then as I was driving home over some, you know, bridge that spanned the globe, it was at night and it was raining. And I realized, all right, I just crapped that one up. She doesn't want me back. That felt like crap up there. I was nervous. It sucked. What the hell am I doing here? I only came out here really to do this one thing, and I just kind of put my foot in my ass, and I really started thinking, I should just drive off of this bridge.
Right.
Seemed like a good idea.
Although, had you been able to put your foot in your ass during your comedy act, I'll bet you'd have got more than a smattering.
Carrot Top does it.
That would have gotten a laugh. Yeah. And, you know, the thing about, like, killing myself was, like, I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to live either.
Right.
You know,
I've been there a hundred times.
I was sort of indifferent about my life at that point, and I thought, wow, so what do I do now? Pack my crap up, drive back to North Hollywood, and then what? See if I can get on to another construction crew or start doing open mics again in North Hollywood. Like, it was like I'd never been more dejected in a 70-mile drive in my life. And ooh, here's somebody who says I crushed their dreams.
I know. I've been dying to hear what he has to say.
Eric?
Yes?
How did I crush your dreams?
Adam, I was a middle school teacher who brought in a couple students to the Loveline show back in 2002.
Ah, I don't remember that. I know it sounded like
You zigged when I thought you had zagged.
Yeah.
So, Eric, what was your dream?
Here I am bringing in middle school students, and Adam talks about the fact that we talk about Loveline in the classroom for the last 5 minutes of the day. Adam thought that was too much to be talking about Loveline with middle school students, and so he says my days in education were numbered, and now I am an assistant principal. So
wow!
So Adam actually did you a favor.
Look, I was trying to light a fire under you. I was looking at a middle school teacher, but I felt an assistant principal when we shook hands, and I realized that if you became complacent, you ever hear that song A Boy Named Sue?
Exactly.
It was the exact same thing.
If it wasn't for Adam Carolla, you would have never been in the mud and the blood and the beer.
Here's the thing. Adam is like the coach that when he believes in the player, he pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with years of
or
therapy,
he's an ass. One of those two.
That's right.
Yep.
Yes. So now you're assistant principal at the same school?
Yep, I have a picture of you on my wall.
You don't.
Yeah, and for homeroom, he shows porn.
Who here knows what a snuff film is? Johnny? Nope, that's defecation. That's defecation. Yeah. But we'll be getting into that. Hold your thought.
Yeah.
Nope, that's stump porn. Yeah. Well, no, being raped with a table leg. All good stuff, people.
All good stuff.
All stuff we're going to get to.
But Principal Eric, what is gonzo porn?
It involves a Muppet.
What's double penetration?
Okay. Yeah. Who wants to?
Do you really not know?
I'm doing a seminar in Bukkake on the weekends. If you guys want to,
where's the school field trip, Eric?
I'll bring them on. How many students
Doc Johnson.
I was thinking the pleasure chest.
That'll happen.
All right, Eric. Well, look, I hardly call that crushing one's dreams. Yeah. Look at you now.
Well,
you're commanding a $51,000 a year salary. You have the respect of a bunch of 9-year-olds. I mean, what a gig.
Especially high school. I moved up.
All right, buddy. What high school? Can you tell me?
I'll say it's in Los Angeles.
Mm. Which, is it in the Valley?
No.
It's a bunch of disgruntled teenagers shooting at you.
East LA.
All right, Eric. Well, thank you. And thank you for staying with me all these years.
Yes. Thanks, Ab.
I appreciate it.
I'll call you in a couple of years. Let's know where I'm at.
When you're president of the United States,
hopefully
and it's all because of Adam.
Hopefully he's at a place where they don't end sentences with prepositions.
You notice that, too? Oh, my God.
Only because he's a teacher. But God bless him.
But, you know, we do it sometimes.
I do it all the time.
We shouldn't do that.
Kingsley says his wife crushes dreams of being a poker player. Duh. Perhaps she's correct. I would talk to him, except we're running late, and we need to take ourselves a break because we got some American Idol talk when we come back.
Oh, it was so good last night. Take a little tiny listen to this.
Baby, now I compare you to a kiss from a rose.
He looks nothing like he sounds. I'm going to describe him, and I will tell you this. He may be the first intentionally funny Idol contestant ever.
Mm,
really?
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll get caught up on a little American Idol roundtable next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Let's try to keep this quick, peeps. Jackman's got to meet up with a hottie he met on the internet for some sweet tea. And on a completely unrelated subject, we'll play some clips from last night to catch a predator. Also, an American Idol recap. The hottie from My Name is Earl, Nadine Velasquez. From Pros vs. Joes, Petros Papadakis. And NFL legend Emmitt Smith. Holy crap, peeps. This show's more loaded than blackjack after a six-pack of Zima. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's Adam.
To catch a predator. I cannot wait.
It was the best
segment.
One ever.
Well, speaking of television and hot shows, we're doing a little American Idol wrap-up and wrap-down with Teresa. Teresa, you have some clips from last night's show?
Yes, last night the gang was in Birmingham, Alabama, where a lot of the American Idol winners have hailed from.
Yeah, your initial reaction is to make fun of it.
Yes.
Alabama, hotbed of singing talent. But apparently it is.
Yes, sure. You got your Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
He's from there. He's done so well.
Hicks.
As a valet parker.
Taylor Hicks, yeah.
Let's talk about Chris Sly. I think he may be one of my favorites to audition so far. But you have to, before you hear his voice, you have to imagine that he looks like old Jack Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
As though old puffy Jack Osborne had eaten the new one.
Old young Jack Osborne.
Yeah, that's vintage New Kids on the Block to me.
Exactly.
Old Jack Osborne.
He's real puffy and pudgy with a big, huge mop of curly hair. And you're thinking this is one of the people that they brought on solely to make fun of.
He's an authentic simulated wood dashboard.
Yes.
Very nice.
Thank you.
So, you know how they have those kind of pre-audition monologues where the person's speaking into the camera and you're thinking, well, bring on the crazy because he looks insane. Here is his pre-audition monologue.
Some people tell me that I look like Jack Osborne. Some people say that I look like Jack Black. But when I look in the mirror every morning, it's not those people that I see. It's Christina Aguilera that I see in the mirror. I think that that's who my brother looks most like.
Pretty funny,
I don't think
that
there's ever been anybody who sounds like me. And I mean
well, the one thing that is, I should say, entertaining about singing is if you were doing the next Top Model auditions and a fat chick with a hooked nose showed up, it'd be like, well, baby, you ain't going to make it on the runway.
Right.
But with singing, you never know the person opens their mouth. Because there's Whitney Houston and there's Aretha Franklin.
Sure.
And they both have amazing voices. One of them is a beautiful waif model. The other is 10 tons of fun. But who the hell knows until they open their mouth what's going to come out? You don't know if Bette Midler has a voice and you don't know if Carol Channing has a voice.
Sure.
You just don't know.
Unless a woman comes out, a black woman around 5 feet tall, 350 pounds in robes. She can always sing.
If she's wearing a graduation gown,
that woman can sing.
And she's black,
she's
morbidly obese, you know she can sing.
Well, Chris Sly takes the floor with his crazy, crazy hair and his bloated body, and you're expecting a disaster. And instead, here he is singing Seal.
But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become alive and the light that you shine can be seen? Baby, now I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Oh, the more I get of you, the stranger.
I was slowly falling in love with him. As you know, I like a bigger man. I got no trouble. Right. I got no trouble with the chub.
More tears. I mean, shade in the winter. I don't know.
And then, and then I thought, wow, this is the first idol that's intentionally funny. He has a beautiful voice. I was curious what the judges would say, and then he made me laugh again.
Why are you here, man?
She's in love.
I really want to make David Hasselhoff cry.
What? I don't get that. Why? What do you mean make David Hasselhoff cry?
Well, when Taylor won this last year, they went to this scene of David Hasselhoff and a little tear rolled down his cheek. Oh, it was classic. Okay. It kind of touched me right here.
Yeah, deep. It went deep for you.
You're funny.
She thought he was funny, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was funny. And Simon, who I don't usually care about because it's just such an easy job to be Simon. You can do it in your sleep. It's like being Don Rickles and calling somebody a hockey puck.
Right.
It's like, okay, I get it. It's the easiest job in the world. But for him to go, what do you mean? I don't get it. Well, of course he gets it. It was the biggest moment everybody talked about. To just dive bomb that guy.
Yeah, why?
Because what a punk.
It's poor etiquette
it's
to do that.
Poor etiquette, exactly.
Oh, they had a bad moment. There was this one young woman with long hair down to her feet, and her
mother—they stole her van.
Her mother also had the long hair down to her feet, and they called her in, and then they called in her mother. And it was the one I don't get upset when they make fun of the people, but it was the one time I actually felt horrible because they humiliated the girl in front of her mother, and she was a decent singer, but she wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Well, that's an audition for a mother,
right?
That only a mother would love." And that kind of hurt my feelings. But now, if you want to hear sad.
Yes.
Remember Kelly Pickler and her sad story of
she
woe?
She burst into flames.
There was Kelly Pickler's dad was incarcerated and her mom left the family and she, you know, lived in Albemarle, North Carolina, and she was a skating waitress.
I had a dream that I essentially abducted Catherine McPhee and Kelly Pickler.
Wow.
It wasn't an abduction. But I was sort of chaperoning the two of them for a number of days, and I was trying to convince them to go to Mexico with me instead. That is the last dream I had before the alarm went off this morning. I love Catherine McPhee.
Yes, she is gorgeous.
If you're looking for what I'm looking for,
that's
as
it.
Much as I don't like Pam Anderson in the looks
too.
Department because she's a female impersonator, Catherine McPhee, if you're looking for my wheelhouse, is right in it. And I threw Pickler in for some reason, and we were going to Mexico, and then somehow Kimmel got into the car, and
then
the chicks left, and then it was just me and Kimmel fleeing the police.
I don't think you have to be a psychiatrist to start analyzing you, buddy.
It was, it's not going to be pretty.
It's not. You're going to make ugly babies.
9-year-old could break down that game film, and he would just end up, they all arrive in one destination, which is gay.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about
station, which is Kimmel's.
Right.
Let me talk about Amy Lynn Ward.
Of course you should.
This girl's got a story so sad and a childhood so broken. It makes Kelly Pickler look like Paris Hilton. Here she is. This is not a joke.
Tell me something interesting about you.
I live with my grandma. And my daddy's paralyzed. Hair down. He shot himself. Right here.
Asian or
but it's
two.
Okay.
Why? What's the...
His wife was cheating on him, which was my stepmama, and he caught her in the act. And it wasn't the first time, so, like, he shot her and he shot himself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I live with my grandma to help take care of him. It's okay.
This is a 16 or 17-year-old girl. Do you want to hear her sing?
I want to hear her shoot herself.
Yeah, I want to hear her do the theme from Xanadu.
Amy Lynn Ward.
I want to hear her do physical.
Yes.
I'm going to be Newton John.
Here she is.
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me?
What dance out of his wheelchair.
My reflection, someone I don't know.
Shot herself.
Why must we conceal what we think?
So what do you think? Do you think she goes to Hollywood?
I liked her, yeah. I mean, but I was thinking about Dad. If Dad shoots his wife.
And then his self.
He shoots his wife, and then he shoots himself. I'm guessing both of them are still alive, otherwise he'd be in jail or he'd be in the ground. If he killed his wife, right? So when you go out to shoot two people and both of them are still around, that's a bad day of shooting.
Unless she didn't press charges.
Boys and girls, no, there's not. You don't get a choice. Trust me on all these things. We're not, kid. But what happened very possibly is he killed her dad. And in states where they talk like this about my daddy shot my mama for cheating on him and it wasn't the first time, you can get 5 to 50 years and get out in 3 years for good time.
Oh, so you think he might have done time?
I'm just saying he could have killed her and still be out in 3 years.
There's
a lot of states where things are very weird.
I know what you're saying, but I'm guessing she survived and he did 6 years and is back in his wheelchair or whatever. But we'll find out. Hopefully they gave her the thumbs up.
They gave her the thumbs up. She'll be in Hollywood.
Dude, what do you have to do to win American Idol these days? Who do I have to shoot? It used to be, who do I have to... in this town to get on American Idol. Now you're gonna shoot somebody and shoot yourself.
Well, sob story.
I told my kids Daddy and Mommy are going to shoot each other and then end up in wheelchairs, so if they want to go out for American Idol in 18 years or so, they'll have a good backstory.
Yeah,
no one wants to hear, oh, my daddy blabs for a living and he's rich. Now take pity on me.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Try complaining about being a celebrity in any way, shape, or form. You know, just everybody's got a camera. Shut up.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Although I think your kids could make a case for themselves.
My kids could, yeah. They can't do Disneyland, that's for sure.
We need to take ourselves a quick break, but when we come back, news and football great Emmett Smith, the man who has the most rushing yards on the planet, and it's Emmett Smith. Next, T, you want to give a quick tease on the news?
Paris Hilton's stuff from her storage locker is being auctioned off. You will not believe some of the items that are in her locker and for sale. Also, Donald Trump went on Tyra Banks' show, and it is Battle of the Blowhards.
Oh, that is
right on.
That is, and you know what that is, too? That's mixed martial blowhard. What that is the great, that's the heavyweight champ taking on Chuck Norris or Steven Seagal. They both have different disciplines.
They're from,
they've entered the blowhard octagon. They're both from totally different blowjoes.
Yes, yes.
They're from different blowjoes, different. I trained under Sensei Maya Angelou. I'm guessing Trump's dad was probably his sensei.
Yeah, grasshopper.
But either way, this is Clash of the Blowhard.
Coffee's for closers.
It's better than you can imagine.
The blowjo.
Oh,
we got to hear this. And this story with Paris Hilton, the story about how somebody got the rights to her storage locker is I could do 20 minutes on, but I'll only limit it to 18 for you people. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
There's a flap over Florida's local swan named Swanee. On water, she's a picture of grace. But on land, neighbors say the swan turns into a dangerous predator that could attack children. Wildlife officials say Swanee will stay right where she is because there are no laws on the books against vicious swans.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Vicious swans, a French delicacy as well. T has the news, but I must warn everybody when Emmett Smith, because he's the all-time leading rusher in the NFL with 18,000 yards, played 15 seasons, 8 Pro Bowls, and I think 3 Super Bowls, maybe 2 Super Bowl victories. It's funny, talking to Emmett Smith about the Super Bowl, and in 5 minutes, I have a card with 30 Emmett Smith facts on it, none of which have the word Super Bowl anywhere near them. Bri?
Take responsibility for that.
Thank you, brother.
And champion of Dancing with the Stars.
He's got 3 Super Bowls under his belt. That's right. I think Dallas has 5 Super Bowl wins overall, and they've been to the show 8 times,
because
I do believe.
Because he doesn't like to wear a thumb on his ring, he also has a ring under his belt. It's where he wears one of them.
Oh, really? Yeah, wears an actual
Super Bowl ring right there. He had it enlarged.
He has a... He has a ding-a-ling piercing and wears the Super Bowl.
Oh, no,
right
he doesn't have a piercing. For you and I, it would be a bracelet.
I see. Actually, he threads it. Oh, okay. I thought he had a Prince Charles Super Bowl ring. That would be a power move. All right, T, what's going on in the news?
So what you're saying is at any moment, Emmett Smith could call in.
That's right.
And the news will be on ice. But meanwhile, President Bush is taking some heat from members of his own party, the Republicans. Senator Arlen Specter speaking out about the U.S. involvement in Iraq.
The president repeatedly makes reference to the fact that he is the decider. I would suggest respectfully to the president that he is not the sole decider.
He's not the decider.
Yeah, I no longer have anything to say about Iraq or Eva Longoria.
How about Powerball?
Yes.
$254 million was given away in the Missouri Powerball. World War II veteran, 84 years old, claimed the winning ticket from last Wednesday's drawing. He says he's going to share the money with his wife and three sons.
He's 84.
And his grandsons, his great-grandsons.
And he has $254 million
for the next 2 weeks.
He doesn't, because he can be paid out over like 29 years.
That's what I do at 90.
Here's the option.
Right.
He can receive 30 payments over 29 years or accept a lump sum payment worth $120 million before taxes, which, as you know, is about 60.
Again, to me, this whole Powerball thing is our government at their worst in many respects. One is, you are asking your citizens to participate in gambling, which you say is illegal, except for you can bet on horses, but you can't bet on football, but you can bet on dogs if you're in Florida, but you can't do it if you're in Georgia. Are you guys high?
You know, the weirdest one, you can bet if you're on a boat, but only 3 feet from the dock.
Really?
Literally, you could jump back to where it is illegal to gamble and
or
jump back onto a gambling
if you
want to
get 8 miles out, you can be in international waters. We used to beat that here in Los Angeles.
I used to beat that all the time.
We parked a barge out in the 20s and 30s with slot machines and roulette and everything else, and people used to just travel out, and eventually they sunk the barge because when you beat them at their own game, literally, they eventually go, well, screw that. But here's my point. It is not only legalized gambling for stupid people who shouldn't be gambling, it also sends a horrible message, which is your life sucks, this is your only way out. And thirdly, if you do win, you get less than half of what you won, and then half of that is taken by Uncle Sam, so you walk away with less than a quarter. If he decides to take the payout, which he should because he'll be 172 years old, if the government pays him out over 30 years, he will walk away with less than one quarter of the $250 million he wants.
That's still $30 million or $60 million. He'll do fine for the next... What's he going to have, another 8 hours after he gets his money?
I know, but I don't like the fact that people do this where they go, look, this guy's rich. He can afford paying. It's not about what he can afford paying.
It's
we decide what's fair, what's right. If this guy's Bill Gates and he wants to bust his hump and he wants to work every weekend or he's 10 times smarter than you are, then he deserves to keep every penny he can. It's not like, hey, my neighbor makes twice as much money as I make. He should take over one of my car payments.
Yes. I would make perfect
That's
sense.
Not the way it works.
The winner should be the decider.
That's right.
He should decide. Now, somebody made a bet, and a very good one, that the contents of a storage locker would be worth some money. They didn't know whose storage locker it was, but they made a bid for the contents of an anonymous storage locker because somebody had forgotten to pay the bill for $208 to keep their stuff in the storage.
Let me ask you guys a hypothetical.
Yes.
As far as groups, crews you'd like to roll with.
Right.
Okay.
Is it the guys waiting in line in front of the Quickie Mart in Missouri to buy the Powerball lotto ticket? Is it that crew, the guys wearing their slippers outside?
Or
is it the horrific white trash losers that are sitting at the state auction bidding on the contents of a storage locker? Oops, I'm so animated, I'm knocking over. Of a storage locker, except for they don't know whose locker it is and they don't know what's in it.
I got your answer.
You are bidding on a box with nothing in it, potentially.
I've got your answer. My answer is so easy. Not the guys in the Powerball thing. The reason I'm going with the locker guys, because of Antiques Roadshow on PBS.
Right.
You don't know what you've got, trash to treasure. All of a sudden you buy a locker and you got yourself a Picasso. Well,
but you could have a hooker's corpse.
Right.
Also worth some money to some people.
Well, in this case...
And I know them, personally.
It happened to be the locker of celebutante Paris Hilton.
Not quite a corpse yet, but give her a minute.
You want to talk surreal.
Yes.
I mean, just the idea that you figure any storage... I mean, 90% of those lockers that get auctioned off are because some guy who worked for the trains depot for 90 years is deceased and didn't... His grandkids didn't pay for his locker, right?
Right.
You have Paris Hilton's locker. That's got to be surreal.
Yes. Well, what happened was the guy bought it for under $3,000, and then somebody bought it from him for $10 million. And now the contents are on a website called ParisExposed.com. You have to pay $40 to even get on the website, but I know some of the things that are for sale. And before I get to that,
$10 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, your best case scenario on the bought blind storage locker is. What? Maybe there'll be an old Model T car in there.
I would think like an original Ansel Adams print or something.
But again, how many people have storage lockers, keep valuable paintings in storage lockers, and then forget to pay their $39 a month?
Well, here's one of the things, before I get to the list, which is pretty amazing. Here's one of the things that allegedly is in there. Some racy photos and videotapes that she took with her previous boyfriend, Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis.
Did you notice that you said whores?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
We all noticed you said whores.
Right.
Freud.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Give me a call. Mm-hmm. So this Girls Gone Wild creator, Joe Francis, who had a relationship with Paris, is speaking out. Here's what he has to say about the person who is now trying to sell these racy videos.
She had stuff in the storage locker, and
someone got it.
What happened? Yeah, someone got it.
Put it on the net.
And there's a lot of shady facts, you know, as to how they got control of that storage locker. And they came to us and they gave us an offer to buy it. And I think the last figure was somewhere around $7 million. But even the fact that you said no way.
Now here,
I hope he, by the way, is humiliated by whatever's on the tape in the storage locker because this is what he does for a living.
Oh, he humiliates drunken college girls.
That's right.
But we all know what happened to him, right?
Yes. Well, we've gone over
that. The guy broke into his house and made him put something.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Now here's a list of four things that were in her locker: a bottle of prescription drugs used for anxiety, and a medication for herpes. Mm. These were, now, allegedly, prescription bottles with her name. Here's a weird one. A medical bill for a miscarriage in March of 2003 under her billing name, Amber Taylor. But Amber Taylor has the same birthday.
Is there anything okay with this girl's vagina?
Can I say this?
Yes.
Because this is all anyone's talking about. It's like, here's what we found in Paris Hilton's storage. Like, we found a salacious videotape of her in a sexy bubble bath. We found medication for herpes. We found revealing photos and love letters. If you had found a Torah in an abacus, that's a news story.
That's right.
This is what, you finding sex tapes in Paris. Yes. I'm sure she has them in her car, in her apartment, in her ass, in her casket, in her dog's house. She has it in her freezer. I'm sure there's herpes medication and sex tape almost everywhere Paris Hilton is at. But here's what I was thinking when I was hearing. Again, the news story would be the Torah and the abacus.
Right, a little Tolstoy over in the corner.
When you find the Heisman Trophy in a yarmulke, that's when you have a news story. But I was thinking, how crowded does your apartment have to be? And listen, Teresa, don't put that puss on. I don't care if this news takes 4 days. How crowded?
Emmett's on the phone.
I'm going to talk to Emmett. How crowded does your apartment have to be for you to clear out herpes medication? You know what I mean? Something the size of a Bic lighter, and the other thing is a video cassette, which is the size of a paperback book. Like, how much stuff, how much other medication do you have? How many more porn movies do you have in order to put this into storage?
I hate to say this because my wife might be listening. I'm just guessing maybe it's to hide from people that come in her
house.
Right,
I would think that too. And also, Adam, your point's well taken. In journalism school, they teach you that a story is not dog bites man. It's not man bites dog, it's dog bites man. So in other words, Paris Hilton having bowel sex is expected.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Chekhov, that's interesting.
Speaking of expected, but imagine making the pilgrimage to the storage locker every time you needed to take your herpes medication three times.
Maybe she doesn't have a lot of outbreaks.
3 times a day.
No,
Emmett
she does.
Smith, the world's greatest football player.
With 18,000 yards.
Emmett Smith, and then some. Good to speak to you, Emmett.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good. I'm a big fan because I'm a big fan of football. And if you're a big fan of football, well, then you have to be a big fan of Emmett Smith. 3 Super Bowls. And MVP of Super Bowl 28, by the way, in 94. Emmett, what do you want to talk about this morning?
What I want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Sprint NFL Mobile.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Sprint NFL Mobile.
How does that work?
It works like this. I mean, if you're on the Sprint network, you have the opportunity to download and chime right into the NFL site. and look at the NFL Network interviews with players of all sorts down here at the Super Bowl, and do not only that, but next year you have opportunity to do fantasy football on it
and
keep up with your favorite team and follow your favorite fantasy football player.
Emmett, do you play fantasy football?
You know, I've been trying to get into fantasy football for the longest, and I promise you, this year I will. I'm gonna get that team. If I have to get a league on my own, I'm gonna get my own.
I don't expect step-by-step instructions or anything, but I want you to know, and Adam can back me up, so can Teresa. I have my Sprint Trio phone in my hand with the screen and the TV. How difficult, without describing all the stuff you have to do. I'm not technologically inclined. How difficult is it to get all that stuff you're offering?
It's not difficult at all. I mean, you just chime right into the, you got a browser in there, right?
Right.
Go to that Sprint, you got Sprint NFL mobile package, right?
I got everything I would need. I'm just wondering, just on a small answer, yes or no, it's easy or it's hard.
It's easy.
Well, here's how you know it's easy. Athletes can do it.
Right.
Emmett, don't take any offense to that, but please. if you see some 400-pound guy with a watch that weighs 200 pounds and he can work it, you're in, buddy. Emmett is, of course, known to some of you from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, that's where I know him
he
from.
Won.
Emmett, no offense. I know that you are the one of the greatest football heroes of all time, but I'm not a big sports fan. But I watched you because my best friend Mario Lopez was on Dancing with the Stars, so I saw you. You were so charming that I just got to say, even not ever seeing you play football, I just thought you were a great guy and a great sport.
Oh, he's in love.
Man crush?
No, it was a guy that big taking that kind of chance. I just thought it was balls out tough.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
And how's that work for you? Are you gonna do another season, or are you gonna defend your title?
No, I'm not gonna defend the title. I only have one shot at it.
Yeah, and they go on tour, but I don't see you going.
No, the tour is moving on. I'm not moving on the tour. I spent 17 weeks preparing and doing the whole season. And so afterwards I need to get back to my business.
Well,
and that is the real estate development business. So at the end of the day, my legs were tired of dancing.
Well, to be honest, the tour is for the country singer you've never heard of, not the guy who was the MVP of Super Bowl 28.
Well, not necessarily.
Oh, come on. You're being modest.
Maybe I am being modest.
You're Emmett Smith. You're not going anywhere.
I might have if things would have worked out right.
All right, if they would have thrown enough money at you.
That probably would have been the case.
Right, but you're getting more money from Sprint to talk about the NFL mobile phone than you would be to go on tour, so this way you hang out. Are you in Miami now, Emmett?
I am actually in Miami right now.
And how does it work? I mean, you see all the ex-jocks and some of the current players over there. Does everyone just converge on wherever the site of the Super Bowl is going to be each year on a Monday? I mean, was there ever a year you didn't go when you were playing where you weren't playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a number of years. I've been to the Super Bowl just about every year, to be honest with you. I just haven't been to a game since 98, 99, I believe. But at the end of the day, I think this is something where all NFL players and of the like have a chance to come down and be connected to the game again and be involved in some of the activities that are going on around.
And it must be nice, too, for you, because I'm picturing Shatner at a Trekkie convention, meaning you don't get to walk 10 feet without adoring fans coming up to you. I mean, every person...
I've seen that.
Every single person in that town is a football fanatic, and they all love Emmett Smith, right?
Well, I'm fine right now. I'm in the media center, and I'm not getting bombarded or raided by a lot of people, and I'm sitting here.
Oh, they're just giving you some space.
You know what's different between professional sports at the high end, like Mr. Smith plays, and show business? When your days as a player in show business are over, you no longer go to the Emmys or the Academy Awards. It's over. You're done, and you're uninvited.
Interesting.
He still gets to go to the Super Bowl. I'm Emmett Smith. Of course you're Emmett Smith. You're coming to the Super Bowl. Fine. Here are your tickets. Nobody else can get tickets, but they are a league of their own, pardon the expression.
Right.
And they will stay that team, you know, and the greats will always be invited to the Super Bowl.
It's true. You don't see Fred Grandy giving out the Golden Globe.
That's exactly true.
Because he was on the Love Boat in 1977. Emmett. You are you're a lucky man, and also you escaped a long football career without any real horrible injuries. I know you had a shoulder injury, and I'm sure you could tell us a list of injuries, but you don't walk with a limp now, do you?
No. You saw me dancing, right?
That's right.
Saw you winning.
That's right.
No, I'm in pretty decent shape.
And you weren't backstage of Dancing with the Stars yelling at the trainer to give you the needle?
No, not at all.
What's scarier, when you're facing across the line and you're looking at a 250-pound football player whose job it is to smash face first into you, or to get up and tango with a little girl in front of a nationwide audience? What's more frightening, the giant man who's going to hit you or the girl you're going to dance with?
Probably the girl I'm going to dance with.
Cheryl Burke, your partner, though, she has a great track record.
Yeah, but yeah, when
still, though, you met Emmitt Smith, he couldn't have thought in the beginning, I'm going to win this. He must have thought,
well, did he?
This is a lark. This will be fun. This will, nobody
did you
expects
think you're
going to
win? And by the way, you spiking her was out of line after they handed you the trophy. Did you think you would win at the beginning?
At the beginning, I didn't know if I was going to win or not, but I knew I had a chance, and I was hoping that that the fan base that was following Jerry Rice would start supporting me and help me move along the way as well. But I also felt like I could dance. And I'm going to say this in a modest way: I could dance a little bit better than Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had rhythm and things of that nature. So I feel like I can bring a different element to the game, to the dance.
Well, and also, if you want to think about effort.
Right.
He's a running back that has more yards from scrimmage than anyone in history and is as gifted as he is. Think about the effort involved with that. Struggling for the extra yardage, literally struggling. I mean, it sounds like a metaphor, but you're literally trying to drag people with you who are trying to stop you. You don't get to that point without putting in the effort, and I'm sure you took that same effort and put it onto the dance floor.
That's the way it happened. That's the only way you can be successful at anything. You have to put your energy, your mind, your soul, of it into the focus.
Emmett,
we're just talking about
I feel like, you know, I grew up hungry with the eye of the tiger because I grew up in North Hollywood and I grew up poor. My kids are going to grow up soft, white, and rich. I feel like I'm going to need you to talk to them.
Would you do that, Emmett?
You think we're going to talk the same language?
I feel like in about 15 years, I'm going to need you to confront my son, who's going to call everyone pops at that point, and I'm going to need you to yell, "Give me your shoes!" You know, real scared straight kind of stuff. And then you pop your eyeball out and throw it at him. Because they're going to be soft, my kids.
First you had the eye of the tiger, now he's got the eye of Emmett Smith. How many eyes you want, buddy?
Well, you grew up, like Emmett, you grew up hungry, right? And I don't mean hungry for food, but I just mean
eager.
There was no big family business for you to go into, right? You knew you had to make your own way.
Exactly, and I'm hungry right now.
And you're hungry now, but how do you give your kids that hunger who grow up in 25,000 square feet outside of Dallas?
Everything, make them work for it all, and make them feel like they don't have enough, and make them more, just dangle some carrots out.
Right. But then they hate you because their daddy could have bought me a car, but he forced me to mow the lawn.
Let him hate you.
Emmett Smith, do you give your kids an allowance?
At the end of the day, you got to give them some kind of incentive.
All right.
You know, I agree with you, but I was sitting here acting real tough. You know what? I just bought my kid yesterday, and I wouldn't mention it except for Emmett right now. That brand new Sprint phone it's an MP3 player as well and takes video movies.
Well,
so my kid gets everything the second she asks for it.
They can use it to hook themselves up with the NFL mobile. Emmett Smith, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
You're a treat, man. Thank you.
Again, we're going to have Emmett do a little motivational speaking to my twins. I'll give them another 6 months so they can sit up in their crib, and then I'm going to need him to tee off on them.
Could you imagine how big he'd look to a 1-year-old?
I would like him to wear his Dancing with the Stars outfit.
It's green. It's lime green, Adam.
From the waist up, from the waist down, old Dallas uniform.
Ooh, nice.
Pads, cleats, but with the bedazzled bandana. On.
Yes.
And speaking of bedazzled
give
bandana,
me your shoes!
That's going to be a good name for my penis. We've been naming T's V all
there
morning.
There was a good one that slipped by me because you were on a rant, man. You had one and it slipped by me now.
Well, we'll go through the archives and find it. We need to take a break. T, I know you got short shrift on your news.
You just never got to hear Tyra and Trump.
Oh, my God.
Adam,
well, I'll tell you what we're going to do then. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Clash of the Blowhards. Clash of the Blowhard Titans. Trump and Tyra next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on Discovery Home, don't watch Neat. A home full of 1980s collectibles is cleaned and organized. At 7:30 on TV One, be sure to miss Bill Bellamy's Who Got Jokes? Aspiring comedians compete for viewer votes, hosted by Bill Bellamy. And at 10 on Sci-Fi, definitely don't watch Hammerhead, Shark Frenzy. Mutant man sharks hunt corporate types stranded on an island. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I wonder how that pitch went. Mutant hammerhead sharks hunt the homeless. Oh, wow. Listen, Bob, that is bleak. All right, hunt white-collar criminals. Now you're talking.
Well, I don't know about that.
Corporate types.
Anything you got that's hunting people. Remember that we talked about
yesterday.
The
ultimate prey.
Yeah, the ultimate prey.
Well, as
we
I,
all disagree, by the way.
As I said yesterday, you do not have to give the ultimate prey a head start. When you hunt great white sharks, you don't go, I'm giving you 20 minutes and then I'm coming after you.
This particular ultimate prey right here, the reason that I can fight at all is because I can't run because I smoke 3 packs a day. If I take 3 steps, that's it. I'm out of breath and can no longer defend myself. So I have to stand there.
Yes, it is
no prey at
fight
all.
Or flight.
Yeah, and there's no flight involved
in
Ponte
Vedra. For you, it's just fight.
Yeah.
There's a third F that's in my lexicon. I don't want to tell you what my options are, but I'll tell you, there is a third F in the Corolla.
I might take you up on
you may get that one.
No.
All right, where were we? T, that's right. We're going to finish the news. It was usurped by Super Bowl winner Emmett Smith, and now it's time to continue with the news and Teresa Strasser.
Well, not much left.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
Thanks, man. Yeah, there's no build up there. I just jumped right in.
I don't hear my song, Brian. It's hard for me to do the news. Okay. As we discussed previously, it was the Battle of the Blowhards when Donald Trump stopped by the Tyra Banks show, or as you called it, the Blowjo.
The Blowjo.
Two
great grand champions from different disciplines squaring off.
If you think about it, Flojo got her name for being really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Blowjo, you just got to wonder where they got their nicknames.
Yes, you entered the Gabagon.
Yes, they're in the Gabagon. And at first, to me, it looks like Trump is taking the early lead. Then Tyra comes from behind.
Me hearing my own voice does not suck. I would like to put a trash can on my head so I could get some reverb hearing myself saying I'm not sucking.
Well, she begins with the usual question that you'd expect about the Rosie feud. But after this, she decides to ask a series of questions that he's never been asked before. First, Trump on the Rosie situation.
Have you guys ever been friends, you and Rosie?
Well, we were friendly enough. I mean, I did her show. Can you believe it? I did her show years ago.
Did you regret anything that you said?
No.
Anything? Not even the fat thing?
I don't remember calling her fat. But
can
that
you at least
not,
apologize to girls that are overweight and, like, apologize to them?
No, we don't have to apologize. We're all overweight. Who isn't overweight?
Well, I don't know why Tyra's made it her life's work. She is a model who models in underpants and has panty parties. Thank you, Brian. And was in Victoria's Secret catalogs forever. Why then is she? Oh, I mean, it's really like Colonel Sanders going out and talking about veganism. Really?
Yes.
Just get in your pants and shake your ass, would you please?
Well, you know what? She's not.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders?
Her power
chicken.
Mm-hmm. My very first talk show was called Danny. It was 15 years ago, and I didn't say anything I wanted to say. I was a puppet of people in
a
control room.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's saying something stupid, it's not necessarily her. It's the guy in her ear that's paying her check saying, say this now.
Well, right. She feels like she's the voice of a generation, as she told Larry King earlier in the week. Now, here is a series of probing questions that she takes to the Donald.
Do you sleep naked?
On occasion.
How about this?
Are you as good in bed as you are in business?
Perhaps better.
That's my boy.
And this.
Have you ever used an ATM machine?
Honestly, I never have.
Never?
Wow.
No, I never have.
I was all wrong about Tara.
You know, I used to go the old days. I'd go to the teller. Would have a teller. Would have a bank. But for a lot of years, I haven't really gone to the bank.
Oh, boy.
Never gone to the bank.
That's what you have people for, right?
And then...
She's a black Charlie Rose.
Yes, and then like Charlie Rose or Christian Amanpour, she decided to ask him this.
Have you ever taken a doggy bag out of a restaurant?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
And she relates because she has too. And then a little of this.
What is the weirdest thing that you've done on the Trump jet?
Well, you don't want to know that. If I told you that, this would be a national scandal.
Really?
So I can't tell you that. The Trump jet that's had a lot of activity.
I'm going to need a verdict.
I'm going to need a chair.
This is amazing.
I'm going to need a map of what chair not to sit in.
Not only is there blowhard afoot, but there's another thing that starts with a B, boring. Boring has finally met blowhard, and that's what that was. That was boring met blowhard. Bore hard.
Do you know how hard that is to pull off, though, to be a boring blowhard?
The one thing you can say about the blowhard is at least there's something going on.
Yeah, there's a confidence level that comes with being a blowhard. Yeah.
Right.
That if you're a boring blowhard, you're this worst possible dichotomy ever.
That's what we just heard.
Well, it was the clash of the borehards. I don't know who took that one.
A boring blowhard is... essentially the equivalent of a $80 taquito. It is bad and expensive, and that's what for $80 you wouldn't be eating surf and turf.
What do you say I wrap up the news now?
All right, okay. Baby doll.
I got a little bit more, or I could wrap now. It's up to you.
Well, give me one more story.
Okay, I'll make it quick. A 55-year-old woman, she was trying to do something nice for her husband, and he'd been a little bit challenged in the bedroom area. And, you know, he had some performance anxiety, if you will. So she came up with a plan. She slipped two Viagras into his wine at dinner to secretly give him some extra motivation in bed. Unfortunately, the Viagra triggered a massive heart attack, which sent the man to the hospital. But the news is good. He recovered. And he says now, quote, "I'm not mad at her. The whole episode has made me cut down on the stress in my life and pull back at work. And because of our sexual relationship has gotten better."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem is Viagra is not for desire. It's for capability. It doesn't do anything for your desire to have sex.
But if you have a raging boner, doesn't it remind you to have sex?
Well, I don't know. Then that's all I would do.
Well, my point is I wouldn't punish this kid or this woman anymore than I would punish my own kid who thought he was going to wax daddy's car but ended up using sandpaper. It's like they were trying.
Yes, her heart was in the right place.
The woman was trying to get the guy in the sack.
See, you're reminding me of my very first beating. I swear to God,
I'm doing this for you, Danny.
I remember the day of my first beating. I dug up some of the plants of our new house and gave them to my mommy in a basket and said, "Here, I made this for you. It's a garden." And my dad
punched
me
right in the face.
Well, I'm going to
beat my way out of the news. I'm Teresa Strasser. That was the news.
Oh, Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
All right. Nadine Velasquez. Velasquez is on the phone. Nadine?
Hello.
Wow, look at you. I'm looking at your picture on the internet right now. She plays a Catalina, the sexy hotel maid with the heart of gold for My Name is Earl. Congratulations on the success of the show, by the way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All my doing.
Yeah. And we all knew that. That's why you're here today.
Well, let's see. What shall we talk about? My Name is Earl. You want to talk about Rogue, which is a new movie. You're going
to
be appearing.
Let's talk about me and Randy finally hooking up.
All right.
Tomorrow evening.
All right. All right.
Randy Jackson?
Tomorrow. For My Name is Earl. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock NBC. Yes, tell us about that, because I've been waiting for you and Randy to hook up for quite some time. Actually,
I know.
From before the series. No.
Before it was even on.
Before the show was even on, I wanted you to hook up with Randy.
How's that possible?
It's the same way I wanted to hook up with Eva Longoria before her show. It's just the same kind of thing.
No, I'll tell you what it is. I wanted TiVo to be invented 6 years before TiVo came out.
Right, sure. It's
brilliant.
And for the same reason, I wanted you to hook up with Randy a couple years before the show came out.
I love it.
Thank you.
Nadine, what can we expect from the hookup?
What can you expect? I don't know what
this is. Amazing. About telling you that you just have to watch.
Tantalizing
tease.
Catalina, I have an agenda. I mean, with getting him into bed with me. So, I mean, that's as much as I could say.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that hooking up, you can leave it to your imagination to.
Well, I'm looking at
determine.
I'm looking at a note I have here, and it says the original pilot script for My Name is Earl, your part was going to be Natalia.
Which Tatiana.
Which is going to be what?
Tatiana.
Well, our crack staff here has written down Natalia.
Both Eastern European names.
Put down the crack.
Right, except for one of them's the name of my daughter, so it's confusing.
Yes.
And you're going to be Eastern European.
Right.
And do you do a good Eastern European accent?
No.
I've done a couple of good Eastern Europeans.
But have you? I was actually doing Borat, the character Borat, when I went in to do that.
Oh, really? When you got the job on My Name is Earl?
Yes.
Can you give us a little Borat?
Really?
I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to guess no, so based on this interview so far.
Yeah. Let's see. You've got a movie coming out called Rogue with one of my heroes, Jet Li. What can we expect about that? Are you involved in the martial arts at all?
No, yeah. But I begged the director to let me do a couple of kicks, but he didn't let me. So
I take that go kind of seriously when you're around Jet Li.
He didn't let you do any kicks in a martial arts film?
No, and I have to defend my life, and I the only way that I could defend my life is by screaming and crying. Like, I have absolutely no chops in this movie, but I play the wife of a Chinese drug dealer, and Jet Li.
Now we're talking.
Jet Li's assigned to assassin my family, so.
Nice to talk to you.
that rocks, though. Jet Li being doing anything with Jet Li.
You know what I love hearing about? People's beginnings. What was your first job in acting?
A McDonald's commercial.
Now we're talking.
That's good money, right?
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Were you a kid, a teenager?
I was 18. And this was back in Chicago, and it was my second audition ever, and I got to be the McDonald's.
No,
the McDonald's girl.
Would you say that since your first McDonald's commercial and now you've improved as an actress?
Absolutely.
And with all the publicity that you do, have you gotten better at, say, when you first did your first radio interview till right now?
It varies. Sometimes they're terrible and sometimes they're great.
How would you rate this
one? Out here.
Nadine, how do you feel about how this is going?
I think this is going fine.
So I think it's going real well, too.
Yeah.
No, I'm enjoying it.
How do you think it's going?
Good. You're with Jet Li, you're my hero.
I give it a 9, but I'm not going to tell you out of how many.
Right.
So what would make it a 10?
Maybe just a little Borat.
Ice skates.
A little shot of Borat, yeah.
I don't know. I know how to speak Russian. That's it.
She was asked and she delivered. Our score goes up.
I don't want to tell you what the ceiling was, but we're now up to an 11. Nadine, we'll be watching tomorrow night when you finally consummate your relationship with Randy on My Name is Earl, NBC, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. Nadine, come see us in person.
Where are you?
We're out here in beautiful Oregon. Where are you at?
Portland.
I'm on my couch right now in Los Angeles.
What color is your couch?
It's cream colored.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a sweater and some underwear.
We just gone up to 13.
Describe the underwear.
Boy shorts.
Love boy shorts.
Up to a 14?
Love that.
Boy cut. Mm-hmm. What was that?
It's a personal preference of mine. The boycott underwear, I think they're adorable.
They are.
Yeah.
They're great to sleep in.
It's nice. It's nice, and you have such a tan. You're Puerto Rican, right?
Yes.
So you have that beautiful tan Puerto Rican skin on those boy shorts. And then the sweater.
Sweater. An interesting
juxtaposition there.
That's cute.
Crew neck or V-neck?
It's a crew neck.
Oh, right, we have nothing left to talk about.
That's it.
Nadine, we'll be watching Thursday night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Nadine.
She made it to 14.
Out of?
I'll tell you
what
her name's off the phone.
I won't give you the exact number, but there's 9 digits in it.
Oh.
Thank you, Mike August.
Because I'm pretty sure most of them were pulled in.
Talent booker Mike August really outdid himself.
Yeah, so funny.
Bring back Vita Guerra, the booty queen.
I slammed Adam's foot to let him know I was going to say something that was important to me. And that's when the McDonald's. Have you improved since the McDonald's commercial?
All right, look, we can't judge.
Oh, she was
all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff.
Thanks for cutting off my news time, Nadine.
Then she delivered Borat, and then she got in her underwear. Once we hassled her, she came through with the, I'm in my underwear, let me speak Russian.
Well, we've learned that if you browbeat people, they become more entertaining.
Goddamn right, ask Gretchen.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, something that never disappoints, hobo power. A unit of stink measurement, everybody.
How much did Nadine's interview stink in hobo power points?
Well, a 50, again, if 50 in hobo power is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese for 2 weeks, defecating on a white hot hibachi, I won't say it was, I won't give the exact number, but it was over 50. It was over 50.
I'm taking that girl's defense because she was at a 75. Until she delivered Borat and said, I'm in my underwear.
She's a sweet
girl.
Come
on.
That's true.
God bless her.
All right. And again, 100 is hypothetical. Right. Nobody has ever smelled it and lived.
They can't live.
They've never lived. And over, is it over 25 or over 30 that's the vomit?
I think 30 is the vomit.
Gonna have to check my wristband here with my hobo power.
I've only played once, but I believe a minimum of 25. If you didn't get 25, you didn't get vomit. And if you didn't get vomit, it didn't count.
Right. So
that's from my one time.
So there's nothing that could go above a 25 without at least some form of vomiting. You bring up some bile, a coworker vomits, something like that. And I think we'll have on the phone the man who currently has the record at something like 77. So, Hobo Power, 866-901-ADAM. Let's hear yours next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time for a little hobo power.
Hobo power is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number.
Four college kids from Canada were flying back from Seattle. Both planes went directly into a granite wall. We found them after 27 hours of them sitting there burning.
Smoldering college kid flesh. You just got yourself 15 points, my friend. 73.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm reading the screen. Joe says, reigning hobo power champ, score 71. 18 seconds ago, I heard me give someone a 73. Well, could be Stone.
Somebody's wrong.
Stone Kyle.
You
Joe?
All you need to do is click on the radio microphone. And that's give you
right. Joe, I'm going to use this radio microphone to communicate with you and ask you, is your score 71?
Yeah, it is, and I didn't hear the 73 one the day that they, whenever it was on the radio. So,
well, all right. We look like jack-offs, but let's keep going now.
Yeah, what was so stinky? Remind us how you received such an excellent score.
I'm an ex-Special Forces guy, and we were in Central America as, you'd say, advisors.
Yeah, I was going to say who you weren't, but okay, advisors.
Yeah, and it was 1981, and we were in a firefight, starting to be overrun, called in an airstrike.
Now, who were you fighting it out with? Schwarzenegger and company? I saw that movie.
I love that movie.
I don't got time to bleed.
Sandinistas?
Sandinistas.
All right.
You're going at it with the Sandinista, so you called in some napalm?
Yes, we did. Mm. And the napalm hit, took those guys big time on the side of the hill. And after the fire burned down, our lieutenant said, Sergeant, take three guys and go over and check. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, LT, these guys, they're all dead. Mm-hmm. He said, humor me. So we went over there, about 200-300 yards away. So we hiked in there, and within about 30 feet of it, one of our guys started puking up.
Yeah, all right.
And the smell's so bad, you combine the jungle, the steaming jungle, now it's burnt. And right. You got that with burning bodies that when people die, they defecate and
cook,
you know,
Sandinistas, right. Yeah.
And don't forget, of course, that the napalm itself is jellied gasoline, basically, and stinks to high heaven.
Petroleum jelly and white phosphorus.
Yeah.
Also, I was just thinking, like, Sandinistas, cooked Sandinistas sounds like a great appetizer, you know?
It does, like samosas.
Yeah, maybe you're over at the Olive Garden or something. Yeah, let's have another plate of the cooked Sandinistas.
Veggie Sandinista plate?
Yeah, whereas pot sticker sounds horrible.
Yeah.
That sounds like something, you pick up from a hooker.
Like they got ruined. Oh, it's a pot sticker. Yeah, that one didn't work out.
An outbreak of pot sticker.
Why'd you have to go to the clinic, Ace? pot stickers. Pick them up in Tijuana.
But give me another burnt Sandinista, please.
That's right.
So
that's what got you the 71. What kind of planes did you call in when you called in the airstrike?
F-4 Phantoms.
Oh, the best looking airplane ever created.
Really, you think so?
Created in the 60s, a Vietnam era plane, still using it in the 80s, obviously, and flew for like 30 or 40 years.
Nostalgic for it? Because I think by today's standard, I disagree with you on the most beautiful plane.
What do you think the most beautiful plane is today?
I think the most beautiful plane is
the Raptor.
The plane we use today, because the stealth doesn't really count because you shouldn't be able to see it to judge.
Right.
So I'm going to still go with the F-16.
Mm.
What does Joe think?
I like the Raptors.
The Raptors, the ugliest plane we have.
Nah.
He's the one killing Sandinistas. Give him a break.
All right, Joe. I'm lowering you down to 70 for liking Raptor. Raptor's a horrible looking plane. It's all angular. It's horrible. You know why planes look bad now? It's because they designed them on computers. Back then, they just made them all sleek like.
Well, how about the Southwest Camel?
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you go in there with a biplane?
All right. All right. Speaking of bi, Joe, I'm cutting you loose.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Yes.
Can I say one thing? It's really awesome, Danny, since you've been on the show. It's just really, you're an awesome addition to the show. Man, I'm addicted to it. I can't turn it off.
Dude, I cannot tell you what that means to me. Being the new guy is so scary. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for your work. And I feel... See, here's my problem. If I was Joe...
I'm keeping score for Jack Silver to give later.
If I was Joe and I was in a position where I could call in an airstrike at any given time, I spent years calling in airstrikes, it would be a hard habit to shake. I feel like I'd be at home, I'd have some neighbor giving me a hard time, and be like, honey, give me the phone. What are you doing?
I'm calling in an air.
I want a straving... Here's what I'm going to need. I need an F-4 with some spent uranium in the Gatling gun, and let's go napalm with some daisy cutters. And you'd be like, honey.
And why do you need this? Because that guy's using the lawn blower at 7 in the morning again.
Let's go. Just give me the phone. Don't argue with me, Corporal. Give me the phone or I'll put you in the stockade.
I think it was an Apocalypse Now where they just get all high and call in airstrikes on nothing just to watch them.
I would quickly distort that power to call in airstrikes almost immediately. If I saw like a big bug out in the field, like a big cockroach or something, give me an airstrike.
I'm dying to talk to some of these people.
All right. Who do you want to talk to?
Sherry
is on line. Well, it's not. It's not line five, but it's 4.5 as our numerical system works here.
She got a good grade, though, from phone screener Kyle.
I just feel like I could complain about everything all day, all the time.
I'm getting that feeling about you today, buddy.
But let's. We have the only software in a goddamn phone system where it doesn't light up when you punch the person up. So I have no idea who I'm talking to.
What's up with Sherry?
I guess I could use the numbers on the right.
I think it's line five.
Do you see the numbers on the right?
I can't see them.
You see the ghostly figures of the numbers on the right? Injury.
It's line five.
Can we get those so they're readable?
Sherry?
Hello.
Such a horrible mood today.
That was so reasonable.
Adam's in a bit of a mood, so please tell us a good stick story.
I know he's on a ramp. That's okay.
That's good. We're going to put on some Borat suits and wrestle, and then everything's going to be fine.
We love his rants. Now, what happened that stunk?
Okay. I had left my dog at my in-laws' house, and my in-laws have a dog as well. My dog is a beagle, so it's a medium-sized dog. Their dog was an Irish wolfhound.
Great dog.
Mm-hmm.
200 pounds. So this was a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
They had barbecue beef sandwiches and had leftovers. They decided to feed it to the dog. Uh-oh. They gave it to the Irish wolfhound, but they didn't want to give it to mine because they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish wolfhound then had a bowel movement, which my dog then consumed.
All right, I've heard enough.
And then what?
I've heard enough.
I've got to hear the end.
Somebody's got to puke.
And then...
Then when I pick my dog up at 9 o'clock at night to bring in my car on my lap while I was pregnant.
Oh, no.
The dog, and it's a 20-minute drive home. 10 minutes into the drive, the dog pukes on the gear shift. on the break.
Nice.
And we are stuck in the car. You can roll the windows down, and it didn't matter.
Mm. Now, Sherry, before Adam scores you, I have to ask you a question. By the way, when you're pregnant, you smell things more intensely, yeah. Yes?
Oh, yes, you do.
And what temperature was it that day?
You know, it was in Fresno, and it was a...
Okay, just being in Fresno, you win.
You got 5 points for being in Fresno.
In the summer?
I believe it was a warm summer night, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. So to review, the big dog ate some barbecue and then pooped, and then the little dog ate the barbecue poop and then vomited in Fresno
she
in the summer.
She squeezed the little dog like the bladder on a bagpipe.
Exactly. It was the absolute gnarliest smell I have ever come across.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you the maximum of 25, but was there any bile involved? Was there any? Did you throw up in your mouth at least?
You know what? My husband was driving, and I think he was, because he just was having a hard time with this. And then he was screaming at me when we got home to get towels to mop it up, because we had to get it clean, but you couldn't.
Here's the thing.
Dead.
Once you do something like that in that portion.
You couldn't park the car because it was stuck on the gear
once
shift.
The stuff gets around the boot, the leather boot that goes around the stick shift and the leather boot that goes around the emergency brake and then in that transmission hump between the two. Look, I have lost relatives in that space and couldn't get them out. You know what I mean? That anything smaller than a trash can lid, you can't retrieve.
Once it's in there, it's gone.
You drop a AAA battery down in there or a little clicker or some keys or something, just gets sucked into the vortex. That vomit is still, you could take that car, you could put it in the ocean for a year and pull it back out. It would still have that doggy vomit in there.
In the boot.
I'm going to give him a 33.
Nice.
Feeling very generous this morning, even though I'm in a horrible mood. Now, let's speak to...
Are we going to address that at any time?
Mario.
Yeah, what's wrong?
It's an accumulation of things. This phone system pisses me off to no end. The fact that you can't read the line. I mean, the fact that there's numbers, but you can't read them. The fact that the numbers on the left don't link up with them. The fact that we can't punch somebody up and get them to light up. The fact that Mike August hooked another horrible guest.
Nadine is part of it.
How's
everything at home?
Everything's fine. I'm not one of these guys who is in a bad mood because I'm in a bad mood because I got in a fight with the old lady.
Right.
No, here's the beauty of me. Everything can be perfectly fine everywhere in my life, and I could have two crappy conversations about stuff I was tired of talking about, and I'm just immediately in a bad mood.
You and me both.
Mario?
You and me both.
How you guys doing?
See, I don't like the name Mario, and I just want to quit.
Dan and Teresa are doing well. Adam, not so good.
I got some hobo power for you.
All right. You can make me feel better.
I'm an electrician doing a night remodel on a Ralph. We're disconnecting some seafood cases.
Ooh.
Probably been sitting there 15 years since the last remodel, right?
Uh-huh. So it's those icy seafood cases.
You got it.
I'll tell you, nothing looks better in a supermarket than going over there and staring at that big old crab or walleye just sitting there in a crushed ice. Really?
And did you say it had been there for 15 years?
Yeah, they've been using the same one for 15 years, right?
It's old rusty, case. And
right.
It's just been sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm disconnecting the electrical, and they got a trench for the plumbing. And, there's shrimp and fish, all kinds of stuff in there, crab legs. And, there's a drain line coming out of there that goes underground, probably 3 feet underground.
Mm-hmm.
And the plumber's trying to wrestle it. It's all rusty. It's cast iron.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty brittle.
Right.
We're all in the same spot, probably 6 feet from each other. This thing breaks open, and there's a gas pressure in there from the rotten seafood. And it shoots out shrimp and maggots and green juice and fish heads.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
All over this plumber, who's a cross-eyed plumber, so I don't. This guy doesn't even know what he's doing. He starts vomiting. We all drop our bags and run.
Nice.
Yeah,
you know, we get out
nice.
Of there.
Mm-hmm. Bags, by the way, are your tool bags,
right.
For those of you who think he's dropping a suitcase. Yeah.
I thought it had a Mark Jacobs.
That is, I'm in a better mood. I'm in a better mood already, Mario. I must say, the exploding gas, the maggots, the seafood, the 15 years, and yes, seafood smells bad enough when it's fresh.
When it goes, it goes.
Wow. I'm going to give you a 37. Well, wait a minute, Mario. How close were you in proximity to this plumber?
Yeah, I was 6 feet, but I'm telling you that there was a gas pressure. This stuff.
Wait, I know where you're going. You're working in the plumber smell.
Right? Yeah, I mean, right. I give you 15 just for ass crack right there. I start plumbers. All plumbers started at 15.
Adam,
we're doing a site remodel, so you can imagine these guys we're working this with. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Yes.
It's a surreal thing. I've done a lot of it in my career, which is when you work on businesses, the businesses, especially the ones that are open at 8 in the morning and close at 10 at night, well, if you have to do work on those businesses, you don't show up at noon. Those businesses are open. If you're cleaning the carpet, if you're doing the plumbing, if you're doing whatever, you show up and work from 11 at night till 5 right. in the morning. There's a weird, surreal quality about doing plumbing, about doing carpentry, about doing any of that kind of work at 3 a.m. in a business that's closed
right.
with the sort of shadows and ghosts of all the things that are in the business, whether it be a gym or a supermarket. It's weird being in there.
What it is, it's the reverse of, and I don't know, enough people may have done this not to be able to relate. It's the reverse of being in a nightclub during the day. You
right.
know, my friend used to own part of a nightclub that was wild during the nighttime. I mean, it was
yes.
back in the late 70s, early 80s, crazy quaalude, taking off your clothes kind of bar. But during the day, they'd be counting the money, putting things away, doing the receipts. It was just so odd.
It is weird. You are exactly right on this. It has a different smell
totally.
To it. You start noticing imperfections.
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
place is not that
cool.
nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. Because you were staring at a hot chick's rack the whole night, and
right.
you were high as a kite on GHB. That's why the place
well,
was cool.
It's like you used to date me or something.
Well, speaking of hot chicks, have you seen Cherie on line one?
I have, but I hesitate.
Oh, come on. Please. Do you think it's going to bring you back to bad times at Loveline?
I'm going to give everyone a choice because line one is Cherie. She had an infection downstairs at the hospital.
It might not be her. She could be a doctor.
Sean had himself found himself a grease trap that sat for 3 months.
Mm.
Week-old bag of human dookie.
Nice.
Then Mike on line 8 says, I gave him a 92 last time.
Well, I think it'd be fun to hear you yell at Mike, but I kind of want to hear Cherie. What do you think, Danny?
I like hearing Adam yell.
I may have to apologize. I may owe Mike an apology, Mike.
Yeah.
I gave you a 92 for what?
Actually, it was a 91. I stand corrected because I found the tape. Remember the guy last year, Dag was on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The guy was sitting on the toilet. We thought that his fecal matter had come out of the toilet, but it was actually his skin that had dropped in the toilet.
Yes, he had died.
Fallen over on his left side, and his body had gone to the shape of the tub, the 290-degree L.
Oof. I screened this call. I remember this very specifically.
Yes.
Mm.
91. Where's my eye of the tiger?
You're
tablet?
Right.
Yeah,
you're
good
right.
Job,
you're
Mike.
Right, Mike.
Good job.
I feel like a heel.
Well,
I really do.
Would it make you feel better to hear about a vaginal infection?
Yes.
Well, that would make me feel better.
Please sweep away my shame, much like the Massengale has swept away the infection.
This may be one of the few stories, actually. It might be infected enough that I'm not interested in it. I want to hear.
Yeah, he hasn't met.
Yeah, I haven't met one I don't like.
It's like, has a dog ever met a hot dog it wouldn't eat?
Right.
I'm the Will Rogers of vaginas.
Has Danny ever met a vagina he didn't like? Cherie?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I was working in a hospital, and one of the corridors was the older women's. It was a geriatric corridor. And filling the hall was a stench, and nobody ever knew what it was. And you'd get in the room, and it was just a phenomenal smell.
Mm.
And I finally asked the nurse one day what was wrong with the patient that it smelled that bad. And she had said the lady had an vaginal infection, and it was taking over her womb.
Oh.
And it was strong enough to fill a whole corridor of the hospital.
Almost killed the family of raccoon living in it.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, just because it's hurting my teeth and my genitalia simultaneously, and normally it's one or the other.
Right.
Normally either my teeth hurt or my genitalia hurt. This is both and everything in between. I'm going to just go ahead and give you an eek. I'll give you a solid 50. Just
nice.
A straight 50.
Nice 50 right across the
feeling
board right
generous.
There.
We're running late. We need to take a break, but I'll tell you what's going to put me in a better mood.
Oh.
When we come back, T.
Yes. To Catch a Predator made its triumphant return last night there in California. Now, just briefly, a guy had a screen name, and I am not kidding you, it was this.
29-year-old Michael Warriker, an unemployed computer technician, uses the frightening screen name, Can I Rape You?
And What?
Can I rape you? Anally.
We can say anally.
I guess so.
Can't, but we can. That was his screen name trolling for 12-year-old girls. And another guy, for the first time, got the taser.
Mm.
That is him.
Wow.
Get him.
Wow. I don't want to give away too much, but I did see it, and the same guy had vanity plates on his van. It was the N-word. I can't say the whole thing. Yes, he's a horrible man. All right, we'll take a break. I'm excited now. I'm back, everybody.
You're back.
All right.
Take a break. To Catch a Predator next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Have a seat. I made some frozen lemonade.
Very cool.
Yeah, you like lemonade?
I do.
Guess what? I want to change my suit. Does that sound good to you?
That really sounds good. I don't have a suit, though.
That's okay. You don't really need one.
Good deal.
Yeah, jump in. It's really warm. I turned it on a couple hours ago.
Sweet.
And now a recap of To Catch a Predator on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
This is Family Viewing at the Bonaducci House.
It is my favorite show.
Well, I have a 12-year-old daughter, so we don't only think it's the greatest thing ever, but we also, she's online. I'm not kidding you. We sit her down and make her watch this with us.
Well, they have now taken their show on the road. In every city they go to, there's more men than they can handle.
No, they're doing a show called American Predator. It's an idol-type show. We line up to be America's Next Predator.
And every one of these guys has driven several thousand miles to get there. I mean, these guys drive 200 miles. They show up in flip-flops and cut-off sweats and a leather fanny pack and a bad-to-the-bone T-shirt. And then she does that. I'm in the kitchen. Have some sweet tea.
You're naked.
Well, let's talk about...
And a Cool Whip and a cat. That's my favorite.
There's a 14-year-old girl... You're chasing a cat around. You got Cool Whip.
Well, Chris Hansen, one of my favorite things that happens is when, and this happens just about every time, the guy lies. He doesn't know how old she really was, and he's just dropping off some sandwiches, and then suddenly Chris Hansen busts out the chat log. So this first when he reads the chat log in his crazy deep anchor voice, it is something special. And he has a way with the predators where he can usually make them stay long enough. A few of them.
They're idiots. That's what it is. It's like when the cops read your rights that you have the right to remain silent. They continue the sentence. It sounds like this. If you can't afford a lawyer will be appointed to you. You have the right to remain silent. If you don't remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you. Why do you have so much to drink? You don't really get that you had just a right in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't really understand. They can just split. They don't talk to a
news guy.
Well,
there are cops out front and out back.
They don't know that yet.
Who bust them.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. They don't know that yet. And a couple of them make a run for it. But not this first guy. His screen name, I've just been informed, I can't actually say. So I will allude to it. His screen name that he uses to prowl the internet for 13-year-old girls is Can I Rape You?
I got it.
Thank you.
No, I got it. Can
That's
I rape you annually?
Name,
can I rape you in the...
No, I was going to say annually. Everybody
it's,
right.
Yes, can
annually.
I rape you annually? Thank you.
Thanks.
Right.
So take out one of the letters.
I would argue it says can, not I will.
You know what I mean? It's polite.
He's asking.
Right. Good point.
Then what about may?
Mm-hmm. May I?
May I?
It's my screen name. That's why he couldn't take it. That's my domain.
Yeah. Well, he could have done May I Rape You Too or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, surprising nobody had that screen
name.
Can
we move forward?
Mm-hmm. Now, here Chris Hansen comes out and has to read a little chat log.
Remember, we have his chat log, where he writes to someone who says she's a 13-year-old female, I like rape. She responds, creepy. Worker explains that he doesn't really want to rape her, just rough sex. I'd want you to resist and pretend you didn't want it and stuff.
What kind of a guy has a screen name, Can I Rape You?
I guess responses.
Do you think rape is funny?
What's not funny? Now,
all he wants her to do is pretend she didn't want to do it. Just have sex with my wife.
Oh.
There, you're covered.
Well, no, apathy doesn't fulfill the rape fantasy.
Oh, I see.
That's an actual struggle.
Are you done yet?
Yeah, you don't want passive resistance. You don't want some sitting in on your rape.
Right.
You want to take the pepper spray and the hose to
him.
Yeah, because she's taking the reading during it now, which really drives me crazy.
You got the Gandhi or the Martin Luther rape route. That is
not
a boring Saturday night.
Okay, so
you go the Malcolm X rape.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, so rapey. Now, this made me think of you, Adam, because you've often said that when people don't have a job or when they're stalling, they do two things. They either say, actually, Mm-hmm. Or they say, right now. Now, this rapey guy is asked by Chris Hansen what he does.
What do you do for a living?
Actually, right now, I'm unemployed.
Both unemployed.
I got a small inheritance a year ago and sort of took a break, but I'm almost out of money now.
Time to get back to work.
It's back to work.
Time to get back to molesting. Yeah.
Great grandpa Eubangus Uranus. he early said, came over on the Mayflower. He left him a stipend, so he's living off of that. My favorite part of life is when the chat log comes out, symbolically. Yeah. Yeah. It's the part I used to love when they do the hidden cameras. When mm-hmm. Chris Hansen would go, he'd go to the transmission shop because they were gouging the old couple that came in there. And the guy would say, he'd be pious, and he'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. And they'd say, let me open this clamshell.
Yeah,
I have a little clamshell monitor here.
Monitor.
Now we have some nice footage of you taking a ball peen hammer to the casing of the transmission and poking a hole in it. Shall we show you this? And that's when the guy freaks out. So for the first beat, the guy's always like, I just came over here to hang out. I wasn't doing anything. And then they pull the chat log out.
And another specialty of Chris Hansen, a lot of these men send photos of their genitalia, and he likes to bust those out, as he did with this 22-year-old college student and self-proclaimed virgin. So if he sounds a little muddled, it's because he has pulled his T-shirt over his head, because I think he understands that he's on Dateline, and he doesn't want his face to be seen.
He may think she's 13, but he's the one who says he's a virgin. Now, the 22-year-old virgin is in the house.
All right, can you pour me a drink really fast? Because... Thanks. Awesome. Yeah, I'm just gonna go get my hair ready. I'll be right back.
Take your time.
I'm excited, by the way.
Thanks,
That was an improv sheet.
So you're excited too?
Not on the script.
Wow.
Yeah, he busts in. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything bad, sir.
You didn't say anything bad.
If he says he didn't say anything bad, what about what he showed her, like the picture of his genitals?
I want to show you something.
Sir, please.
You sent her that photograph.
Oh, boy.
Sir, please.
Did you send that to her?
Yes, sir.
To somebody who said she was a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, my God.
Why did you think that was an okay thing to do?
Oh, he's begging. I like the guys that beg.
No one shames a predator like Chris Hansen. Now a 44-year-old father of three comes in. He has an 11-year-old daughter. Which I found particularly disturbing.
Remember when he brought the kid, the guy that brought his kid?
Yes, he left the kid in the car. Let's take a listen
Well, daycare is so expensive these days.
Yes, let's take a listen to the tale of the 44-year-old father of three.
He tells the decoy he'll come by before he picks up his child at karate, and that he'll bring sandwiches and dessert.
Maybe I'll bring ice cream. I can put it on you and eat it off your body.
Ben and Jerry's Funky Monkey?
Okay, then you can lick it off me.
Spunky monkey.
They now have actors that read the chats.
I don't know. That might wreck it.
My agent sent me out for that.
Did you get it? Why?
No, don't do it. People confuse you for those people.
You know, they said they had a guy who had a nasally drone already, but they keep me in mind. They said they had some stuff coming up.
Can we talk about my jube?
Okay, I just want to let you know real quick, though. I have actor friends done America's Most Wanted, and people like tackled them and stuff.
Well, my jube drives up.
You want to talk about your jube?
No, Majub, that's his name. He drives up, and he hears there's a technical glitch, which you have to expect, because this is a pretty big undertaking.
Sure.
And the walkie-talkie sound is being broadcast in the decoy's pocket. So the guy drives up, and he hears something, and he asks, like, he says, what is that? And she actually does a good job, the decoy, of improvising. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But you can hear, clearly, walkie-talkie sound. So he drives away, gets spooked. But he comes back to thinks is a 13-year-old. He does not want to have a chat with Chris Hansen. He runs out the front door unaware of the cops. And here's what happens.
He doesn't respond fast enough. The result is a taser shot.
Let it stop it. Get him. Cuff him.
They got him.
I got to tell you, if I was a cop, I would bust that taser out every 10 seconds.
Every 5 seconds,
officer, my cat's in a tree. Stand aside.
Yeah. Who would you taser? The cat to get him out or the owner to calm him down?
There's just no way I could walk around with a taser on my belt and not use it 4 or 5 times a day.
Now, have you gone to, and I don't know if they're legal. They were illegal for a minute, and then they started being harder to find. The taser guns that shoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're at the spy store. All over the place, all over L.A. You can just go get them.
Listen, the worst day of my life in everyone else's life is when one of our J.O. buddies got Jimmy's J.O. cousin Sal a taser for Christmas. He then proceeded to tase every single person at the man show.
Oh, no.
And then that carried over into Jimmy's show. I mean, this is... There's two things I'll never get for myself because I know I'll never stop using them. A taser... No, three things. I'm going to add heroin. A taser... And a paintball gun.
Never
if you got me a paintball gun, the entire side of my neighbor's house would be red. Every squirrel in my yard would be red. There'd be nothing that I did not shoot. There'd be things in my
Twins?
Own. Stuff in my medicine cabinet.
Absolutely.
You think my kid was an Eastern Indian.
No.
Yes.
With smallpox.
There's nothing, and of course, I would lower the pressure down to 80 pounds when I was shooting my son, because
he's
anyone under 4 years age, I would lower it to 80 pounds,
you're
because, please, I'm not an
man.
Animal.
Right.
But there's nothing I would not shoot with that paintball gun.
Do you guys want to hear about the man who was busted in Riverside on To Catch a Predator?
No, I want to hear why this guy took heroin off his list.
Why did you?
I was just thinking about this, and I thought, you know, when the guy circled the block... Because
yeah.
he heard the radio
yeah,
transmission, and but he came. I thought the boner always brings you back.
Yeah.
So the inner voice is drowned out by the boner?
Your boner is like, you know how the swallows return to Capistrano?
Yeah.
That's what your boner does.
It brought him back.
Brought him back like a divining rod.
I have put my life, limb, and financial security in much more parallel over sex than I have over drugs
well,
or alcohol.
That's right.
I've taken more risks over that.
This guy, Michael, 26 years old, he was busted by Chris Hansen and Dateline NBC in Riverside 8 months ago. And he had a court date the very week of this. But what happened? Well, first of all, here's what happened back in Riverside.
Back then, Seibert had a sexually explicit online chat with someone who told him she was 13, and he sent a picture of his genitals.
Hey, sir. Let's come on over here for a minute, please.
Seibert certainly had some explaining to do.
And why did you send pictures of your... You stuff know. Like this to her.
Boots.
Oops.
And we'll never do it again.
He said he'd never do it again.
I love it when they break into the chat log and it's like, oh, you just came over to hang out. Well, it says here that I'm going to rub Miracle Whip all over your tanned ass and make sweet love to you. And I don't care if Chris Hansen interviews me in your kitchen before I do it. I will do it come hell or high water. Like, those things are so damning. And he always has an Encyclopedia Britannica of them just piled up. And I love it when the cops tackle the guy. And I love it when the guys don't go down. And I love every part of this. But it makes me think we have to destroy these people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Look, Barbaro... We just put down. Why?
Broke its friggin' leg.
Broke its leg. Not even a horse pedophile. And
didn't
most horses.
Colt's house.
Not a horsophile. Not
some
a horsyphile.
Right. No.
No, but we put him down. This guy got busted 8 months ago.
Yeah.
He gets busted again. As a society, when do we admit something is broken and put it down?
This is where, and as I think I've made clear, I'm a very patriotic American, but this is where government gets too big. This is where I would happily, honest,
right.
and I hope you would return the favor, but if it was up to me, I'd just go, I'm going to turn that decision over to Adam Carolla.
Right.
And if
Thank
he
you.
Sees you get busted in 8 months for being a predator to a child, and he says, oh, you got to go shoot that guy in the head, I just go shoot that guy in the head. That's when government's too big because it takes too long to shoot that guy.
No,
you
know, my call
at that point when Danny gives me the green
yes.
line is get the paint gun
right.
and put the cop killer. Put the
right.
cop killer balls in him because I'm going to go catch me a predator.
I was concerned, though, that Slippery Slope guy might say that if you let someone just start shooting predators.
Yeah, 1 minute you're taking pedophiles and putting them out of their misery.
Then,
and the next thing you know,
nuns.
People are walking into your house
yeah.
unannounced and snuffing out your healthy 13-year-old sight unseen because they're in a bad mood and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. You're right. It's a very, very slippery slope. Look, these guys need to be killed because
right.
what if you're the parent of the third victim? You know what I mean? What if you find
right.
out that your young child was violated by one of
right.
these animals, and then somebody explains to you, and this is the only thing that could make a violent crime worse. The only thing worse than losing a loved one, the only thing worse than having a young child abducted, raped, tortured, killed, whatever, is finding out that this guy had been busted for the exact same crime multiple times.
Yep.
Not sure if you have to say multiple twice. Probably redundant. Actually saying redundant twice is definitely redundant.
Also repetitious.
Multiple, redundant. The point is if you found out that this animal, like if you're Polly Klaus's dad, you find out that this animal has been in prison on and off his entire life with multiple abduction charges and rape charge and all that, and then he breaks into your kid's room, takes the kid, rapes him, and kills him, how outraged would you be by this? Yes, these people need to be put down. Not only for us, for them.
Yeah. Right.
They're miserable.
They must be miserable.
You are in a worse mood than Barbaro if you think it's a good idea to have sex with 13-year-olds.
As I volunteered to shoot Miss Fonda yesterday, I will volunteer to shoot pedophiles today.
Thank you, but I'm going to handle this one.
All right.
We need to take ourselves a break. But the good news is one of my new favorite shows, Pros versus Joes. Now, this is a show that everyone I know has thought of, but it's finally been done.
Right.
This is ex-jocks, ex-athletes, pros, fighters, boxers, ultimate fighting champs, guys going at it, football players, basketball players, against guys that think they can bring it.
It
is very entertaining.
Very entertaining, and Adam's right. Everybody I know thought of that show. And this guy, whoever it is that got it on.
Petros Papadakis. Papadakis.
Wow, well done.
It was written out for me like that, and I should have listened.
Does this music mean he went to USC?
Yes, it does. It also means Brian is 15 seconds away from an orgasm. So before he blows, we're going to take a break. We'll talk Joes versus Pros or Pros versus Joes next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, gangsta rap.
And in this vernacular, what's the difference between bitches and hoes?
Well,
that was Adam Explains Gangsta Rap to 1780s Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Petros Papadakis here from Pros versus Joes.
I'm just going with Greek.
Yeah.
All right.
The Greek tycoon.
I changed my name from Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Too easy to remember. Ethnic.
Yeah. That worked for.
Petros played fullback for the USC Trojans.
No, liar. Tailback.
Oh.
You just said I'm a fullback because I'm white, huh?
Well,
that's what everybody says. I never lined up at fullback my whole career. 4 years, never lined up at fullback. Everybody says fullback because I'm white and fat.
You know what it was? Oh, yes, we did the white and fat math.
I'm pretty fat now.
My brother's white and fat. Nobody ever thinks he did anything.
I must have heard it from one of those people.
Yeah, those people were wrong. Those bastards. I never blocked a soul.
And Petros also, he has great humility. He also says that he was on the worst USC team ever.
The captain of the worst football team. I led those men into failure. I think we were like 4-7.
Well, it says
5-7.
He was the captain of the only USC team to finish last in the Pac-10.
Yeah, it was a tough year. But we thought we were good. I mean, we went out to New York to the first game of the year, and we beat Penn State. I scored a touchdown. We were on the cover of the New York Times. Mm-hmm. But no one knew, like, Penn State really sucked that year because it's the first game of the year. So you don't really know who's good and who's bad. They just came off, like, almost winning the national championship, and we had a bye the next week, so I got up all early, and I was like going to watch Penn State play Toledo, and I woke up late, and Toledo's up like 28-0 on Penn State. I was like, Jesus, maybe we're not that good.
Joe Paterno.
You know what's good? Pros versus Joes.
You like that show? I must say,
it's a good show.
It's brilliant, man. It's brilliant.
It's getting better.
Because you know what's brilliant about it? The simplicity of it.
Well, we got rid of the female athletes this year. It's like no more Rebecca Lobo like trying to score on like some 5-foot dude from Massachusetts. I mean, now it's just straight up, you know, you got to fight Roy Jones or you got.
See, that's what I was saying. That's my question to you. If you're in a sport like somebody wants to be a boxer, which is the ones I've seen, and they really want to be a boxer, and they're probably pretty good at the gym where they hit hard, like Wild Card Gym up here. Those guys are serious.
Right.
But they step into the ring with Roy Jones Jr., who just retired.
Well, like
they're going to get
heavy-handed, angry, professional guy.
Yeah,
there's no question.
That guy will kill them.
Well,
the
thing is, these guys aren't boxers. I mean, they're not anything.
Right,
I mean, they're just
they're
dudes.
They're
guys. They just think they're guys. You know,
right.
They don't know really what sport they're going to go do.
Oh.
I mean, we might strap skates on them and send them out there.
Oh, so they don't know in advance.
Oh, they don't know. They don't know they're pros until we introduce them right on stage at the beginning of the show. So there's a great moment of just this, you know, these guys have been talking all this smack. back, and they've been getting all excited, and they've been at the local bar sucking back Sam Adams and talking themselves up.
Right. Rick Sandinistas.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like Kevin Willis or Rick Smits or, you know, Randy Couture or these, you know, Bruce Smith. These guys are staring at
Randy
you.
Randy Couture was just putting people in the octagon and beating the crap out of them.
I felt bad. I really
did, too.
There was a few moments every year that I just feel awful.
But I will say this about being a sort of ex-jock with fantasies like any other heterosexual male. Thank you.
All Valley football.
I know that. He's a Valley legend.
I will say this. In the field, like, look, when you're talking, thank you, when you're talking about acting...
The winter wind is a pirate. His swashbuckling beard... that's a great
song. The tundra of Lambeau Field. Oh, it's great. All right. What I'm saying is in life, you know, when you watch actors playing tough guys or cowboys or something, you think, I bet I could take that guy, right. I bet I could out whatever him, or he's not so tough, or he's not so
Steven
sharp.
Dorr for somebody like that.
Right. But when it comes to pro athletes, guys get confused, too, because they look at them as performers.
Yeah.
You don't realize that these guys were the baddest guys in their high school, and then the baddest guys in their college, and now they're the baddest guys at the pro level. And you go up there and you watch it, and the game slows down until you play one of these rock and jock games where I was playing against Dan Marino, who throws BBs.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dan Marino's like, you know, you'll watch football on TV, you'll see a guy catching out, and you'll be screaming at your team, come on, intercept that pass. Then you guard a guy who runs a 4.3 40. Dan Marino gets the ball. That guy does a little shake and bang.
You got no chance.
And you have no chance. Or you watch Pros versus Joes, and you try to get a rebound over, who the hell do you have in there?
Kevin Willis. Yeah.
Kevin Willis.
I get confused because there were so many different dudes, and every night, you know, we do it in about a 6-week period down at the Home Depot Center, and every night is just like surreal scene. Like,
yeah,
I remember last year.
It's a Fellini movie.
Yeah, I'm like smoking a Newport, you know, just totally depressed, you know, wearing makeup and some Roger Lodge looking outfit. Like, oh my God.
Nice.
And then it's like Dennis Rodman is like trying to make conversation with Jim McMahon, and it's just like, it's 3 a.m, you know, everybody wants to go home. It's a really strange show in that way, because you get these people together that, you know, they don't know each other, and you stick Randy Couture in a locker room
and
with,
the
you
jocks,
know, Michael Irvin.
The jocks light up immediately.
That's what because they get pissed off, because, you know, they don't want to look, most of our guys, the football, the baseball, you know, these guys are retired.
Right.
You know, so they get super pissed off, the basketball guys, and if somebody comes out there and starts talking to them, and, you know, they still feel like they have something to prove, and
there's
40 cameras that are running. I mean, these guys really...
Canseco hit like 35 home runs.
That was
in
amazing.
The home run.
He's got a twitch. He's got a really creepy twitch.
Like,
really?
A facial twitch?
Yeah.
You know, it's from sticking a needle into a nerve.
It could have been. Yeah, I mean, he's got a weird twitch, man.
He came across kind of likable. I thought he could have been gloating more. Instead, he explained that there's a different sound off the ball when a professional's hitting it.
Right. Sounds like money.
Yeah.
That's just what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like when a pro hits
my wife. There's a different sound off the ball when I hit it.
When I hit it, it sounds like a slide whistle.
Was he a nice guy, Canseco?
I don't know.
Hold on. Corolla's up. All right. Now Canseco.
He was all right.
Canseco's up. Right. Corolla? Canseco.
Let me ask you about one more thing. Because
he was going to tell us if Canseco was a nice guy.
Is Canseco a nice guy?
I don't know.
I met with him.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. I don't know. I mean, some of these guys you get to know. Some guys are just in, like, you know, for 2 nights, and, you know, we paid, like, Tom Chambers to come and miss, like, 3 shots and then leave. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
I never got to know him.
No,
you know?
I did, and the reason I asked this is because I wouldn't know if they ever get mad and go too far.
Oh, they get bent out of shape.
When Roy Jones Jr. was the, James Lights Out Tony was the middleweight champion of the world and probably one of the best ever, I was going to say fought, but that's a stretch, boxed him for charity one round. Mm-hmm. Now, I couldn't hurt him. I'm a chain smoker. And there's nothing I could do.
Could burn him with
and
a cigarette.
And he beat my brains in. And then when I fell down to the ground and couldn't breathe, he goes, "Oh, I'm really sorry, man. Let me help you up." Helps me out. He says, "Put your hands over the ropes." I put my hands over the ropes backwards like this. And he pulled down my pants and kicked me in the ass in front of retarded kids.
The
fucking shine box.
That was like there was no need for that. He was James lights out.
You know,
Tony.
When you get into the ring with a dude, it's on a crack it.
Yeah, right. It's like Michael Jordan wouldn't lose to his kids when they're just playing.
Yeah, but he would not. He's a competitive and angry people.
Right.
Competitive, angry. Usually maladjusted people are professional athletes, especially football players. And baseball players are so bored. I mean, what do? They just suck back beer and watch soap opera.
They have to eat sunflower seeds.
Some of the dumbest people in the world are baseball players.
Are they the dumbest of all the athletes?
Golfers, actually.
Really?
Which is a shocker.
Golfers?
Golfers are the dumbest athletes. Pro athletes, golfers are the dumbest.
Smartest?
Hockey guys are the coolest.
Hold on. Are you saying Fuzzy Zeller's not a genius?
Wow, nice.
Who are you saying are the coolest?
Hockey guys are the coolest. Because they have, like, some kind of weird code where they're, like, really cool people.
That sounds awesome.
Do you know who that was?
They're seriously badass.
That was scintillating.
That sounds awesome.
Now, look. Tamu Solani.
Because they're badass because they fight on cold, frozen
things. I'll tell you why hockey players are cool, because they're humble. Because they are in the 19th largest sport.
Oh, we had Claude Lemieux, Claude Lemieux. Claude is his real name. He's a French dude, and he's on Pros vs. Joes, and he's sitting there talking to me like on his last night, because he was there for a whole week, and he's like, oh, these crazy guys, let me tell you, they give me a first-class ticket, so I just called myself and say, put me in coach, and that's $300 in my pocket.
Right.
In my pocket. He's like all proud of himself, like bragging to everybody about how he got $300. It's like, they're paying you thousands of dollars to be here. And that's $300 for me in my pocket. I don't need to fly no first class to Arizona. I got $300 in my pocket. I'm like, all right, Claude.
Hockey players are...
Claude and load are very closely related.
Hockey players are a fat chick around prom season. They're happy to be asked. They're happy to get a bid.
They're great athletes, though. I mean, they're great athletes, and you have to respect the sport.
I'll tell you why you have to respect...
I don't understand much about it.
I'll tell you why you have to respect the sport, because they beat the crap out of each other like football players, except for football players play 16 games a year. These guys go four times a week in a game that's very physical, and that takes
a toll. Very exerting.
The thing that I find so different about hockey is that football could have been invented on anybody's block. Well, that part of the neighborhood, Chris and Steve and Bob, you get this ball, you try and get it over here, and me and Cindy and Dave are going to try and stop
you. Puts you on ice with blades?
Let me put you on the slipperiest substance in the world. I know, on blades. Who comes up with that idea and calls it a sport?
I have no idea, really.
Although you can win a Ducks game with dinner with me. Coming up soon.
Well, it's fun to go to the games with the people. I used to live downtown, and you'd see all these dorks running around in these huge purple jerseys, and it works every time. And when they're walking towards you in the street, you go, hey, are you guys going to the Kings game? And they're always like, and they never get it. Like, 3 seconds goes by, and you're like, man, you guys are dorks. You're walking around with Marty McSorley jerseys on.
That's Petros Papadakis, by the way, who is the host of Pros versus Joes. Now, it's on tonight, 10 o'clock on Spike,
Premiere
of your second season?
No, second show.
Yeah, it premiered
last week, but I didn't get on the show here.
Well, I was trying to figure that out.
Me too.
All right, Brian.
It's the same card we used last week, and Petros wasn't on the show.
The point is, it's on. That's right.
I was here.
So who's on?
I was here, and then I got booted. I got yardipulted.
Who's on tonight?
I don't know. We got Roy Jones Jr., who accidentally called Roy Williams and he threatened to kill me twice. And then his bodyguard threatened to kill me.
Who else?
I love him.
I think Vince Coleman's on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Willis is back tonight.
Oh.
And...
oh, look, just watch Roy Jones Jr. pound.
Yeah, that's enough to watch Roy Jones.
So white guy with a tattoo. Tonight? And
yeah, I mean, he literally can hit a dude like six times in like a half a second. It's pretty funny.
And he can be mean, too. He can beat you up so he's won.
He was nice.
And he can keep standing you back up with uppercuts and not let you fall down.
He hit him a lot.
And continue to beat you.
He hit a lot of dudes.
All right, we need to take a break. News coming up next. What's in it?
You know how a couple hours ago you were in love with Catherine McPhee?
Mm-hmm.
You won't be after you hear the news.
All right, I'm going to prepare myself physically and emotionally
spiritually
for the news. Petros, I'm going to need a hug, buddy.
For me?
Yes.
Give me a nice bear hug.
I'd love to give you one. Is that like a tradition around here?
No, you'll be the first.
How wonderful. You are my personal radio hero. You always have been.
Really?
I used to love listening to you as a young man.
You're going to bust my hug hymen. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, guys.
We'll be right back after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Eden, Australia. A 41-year-old man was almost swallowed alive by a 10-foot shark while diving for shellfish. The man escaped the jaws of the shark after stabbing at its eye with a chisel. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. When you're 30 feet under the water and you have woodworking tools.
Yeah. Hey, you know, real quick, we were speaking of professional athletes and the like. Teresa and I will be at the Pod Fitness, you know, the thing where the trainers download all your personal exercise regimes.
And your favorite songs, right?
All your songs. Whatever your songs are comes from your library, not theirs. It's really cool. It's
young man. Ace Man exercising to this. I can see it now.
He loves the Pod
Fitness.
Dude,
I am all over Pod Fitness. And Teresa and I will be at the W Hotel for their grand opening party tonight at 7 o'clock. And the best athletes in the world will be there.
I would go to the W Hotel anyway.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it's such a cool place to hang out. I'd be there at 7 o'clock anyway. But Teresa and Danny will both be there tonight, 7 o'clock, W Hotel, and that's out here in Los Angeles,
of course,
obviously.
The W Hotel is where my wife did the scene with the strippers for her birthday, and they called the police on me, so they kicked us out. No, I think they've accepted my written apology. No, I swear to God, not joking. I wrote them a very long letter of apology about the arrest, and I didn't mean it, and I won't hurt any strippers again.
All right, now
yes.
The news.
Somebody who did get hurt, unfortunately, was a 23-year-old Marine sergeant whose wife poisoned him with arsenic a year ago. And yesterday, she was convicted of murder. She's facing life in prison. Now, here's something you shouldn't do if you're trying to avoid the law after poisoning your husband. Don't take the $250,000 of insurance money, get a boob job, and then move in with a different Marine.
Doesn't look like you're
in a period of mourning.
Too late.
See, there's also that problem,
man,
of obvious arsenic poisoning. You smell like almonds and your fingernails have yellow streaks down them. It's the world's worst way to kill a guy.
Although I feel like you could smell of worse things than almonds.
Yeah, but that's how they know arsenic.
It's not a great insult. Sir, you smell of almonds.
Well, he's dead.
Well, in entertainment news...
Well, that is a slap in the face.
True. American Idol took the top two spots in the ratings for last week with 33.9 and then 32.6 for Tuesday's episode. Million viewers. They beat Grays. They beat CSI.
I'm
they beat
going
Cold
to Canada.
Case.
That's it.
Well,
don't say that. You'll be like Alec Baldwin and not go, and everybody will ridicule you.
He's in Canada.
Alec Baldwin. What he said? If Bush wins the presidency, I'm leaving this country.
Yes.
Lying
Every
bastard.
Blowhard lefty says that.
Yeah.
We recapped most of Idol, but I saved a little something special. Katie Bernard. Now, there's a few things that have been happening regularly on these auditions. Mm. One of which is that the singers are told no, and then they start bargaining. They've reached the stage of grief where they're in the bargaining mode. And they try to keep singing. Well, here's another thing that happens occasionally, and this is an extreme. Somebody's speaking voice is nothing at all like their singing voice. Mm-hmm. Here's Katie Bernard speaking. Mm.
My talking voice is a little higher pitched, and when I'm nervous or excited, it gets higher. When I pick up the phone, everyone's like, hi, can I talk to your mom? I'm like, no, this is Katie. Like, it's me. A lot of people think I'm like 3 years old.
I loved her in Wings, but can she sing?
You want to hear it?
Now, how old is this person?
Oh, she's probably, I can't remember exactly, but I believe she's in her early 20s.
I think it's Dakota
Fanning.
She's
an adult.
She's an adult, clearly. She's not in high school. Yeah, she's a grown woman.
Hmm.
Now, that was her talking, and then this comes out.
Even when there's nothing but gloom, but our room is not a house, and a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight.
The judges liked her. They asked her to work on the little girl voice.
I will tell you this.
She might as well have said, you know, whenever I answer the phone, I'm a white girl. And then when I sing, I'm not anymore.
Right.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I know.
I've asked my wife to work on that little girl voice many times.
Do you like that?
I don't not like it.
I thought you were going to be put on the spot with that. Like, somebody follows your joke and says, oh, you really like that? Now you're stuck. But I don't mind it.
I will say this about her. If she does not catch on here as a singer in Hollywood, the folks over at To Catch a Predator could certainly use.
She can make some sweet tea.
Would you like some sweet tea?
Yeah, the girl they cast on last night's wasn't as good as their other decoy.
I think they should use me.
Yes.
I'm in the kitchen making sweet tea.
I'm 12.
Make us up to home.
March shots in there. I'm not getting anywhere near that house.
Former American American Idol contestant Catherine McPhee, your beloved Adam.
I'm going to be very careful.
I'm going to be very careful.
Be very careful.
Maybe you'll like this. Maybe you'll find it charming. Mm. She was on Access Hollywood, asked if she is, in fact, a Scientologist.
I liked a guy. He was really cute. And I was really into him, and he was into Scientology.
So you studied it because of him?
Yes, but no, I'm not a Scientologist. And I know a lot of Scientologists, and I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. So that is, I guess, in a way, fact, but also fiction, because I'm not a Scientologist.
So she is or isn't? She's not. I couldn't tell over the guitar in the background.
She did for a guy.
Stick to talking about bulimia.
I wanted her to finish about the guy. He was really cute.
Yeah,
he's gay. He used to play Vinnie Barbarino.
Well, so I think she is not.
He's allegedly gay. You have a crush on.
I think he is not a Scientologist.
Right.
I just want to say everything in a sing-songy way. I feel like I'd be happier.
Like?
Come on, big boy. Pay your $10 and get
Do you want to ask me to get on with my next news story?
No, I feel like even if I was like criticized. I'm going to be like, Angie, what the hell's up with the Petros Papadakis card? It was from last week, so I didn't know when the premiere was. I feel like it would make everything almost more palatable.
Happy gesture like that, it makes you have you look like Gollum, and all of a sudden you just went, ta-da! I'm feeling like way better.
Ta-da! Thank you.
They do say if you smile, it makes you happier.
Let's bring it home, girl.
Yes. Lastly, here's a story out of Milwaukee. A cop was sent to the mall because there was a truant teenager. He was not in school, so he went up to the teenager and, you know, tried to find out his name and age. The teenager freaked out. Something unexpected happened. The teenager threw his colostomy bag at the cop.
I hate that.
The contents of the bag splashed all over the cop. Some even got in his eyes.
Ooh.
And the kid got away. Police are still looking for him. This attack is considered an assault because when you throw a bag of feces at somebody, there's a risk of contamination. No word on how the cop is doing, but we wish him well. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Look, I'm no physician, but if you have to use a colostomy bag, how good are your wheels? You know what I mean? I mean, don't you think you would run down a guy who's got a hole in the side of
his eyes are filled with feces? The cop, he can't chase.
Also, it does not necessarily work like that. You've got an attachment to one of your intestines, depending on which way it goes.
Right.
But anyway, if you can be perfectly healthy in every other way but your digestive system.
Right.
So he could fly. He's not going to bleed either, which is weird. Don't you think all big cuts should bleed? He probably wouldn't bleed.
I do feel like, though, as far as the dogs go, this would be one of the easier gigs for them. You know, usually you're holding a guy's glove or sock out trying to get the scent. Here's some mail the guy handled. This, I feel, for a dog would be a layup.
Here's a bag of feces.
Yes,
here's
all of that feces.
Essence. Get him.
We need to take a break. When we come back, a new game to play. A little something called Gay Walking. Bill, pre-op, board op, Bill. Went out, and he's gay. He spoke to other gay men, asked them questions. We'll not hear the answers. We'll guess, and then we'll hear the answers.
Love it.
Get it?
Love
jaywalking?
It.
Gaywalking. Brian, you have a quick clip of that? All right.
What does the phrase 10W40 refer to?
It's like your tax form or something.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Wow. That's not quite how I thought this was going to go.
Right.
It isn't? No.
Well, we won't hear the answer.
I thought we were going to hear, like, what's teabagging or something like that.
Oh, no, these
no,
are...
No, that's a layup for a gay man.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
We're asking traditional, stereotypically
Danny.
Butch questions.
See, Danny didn't know what 10W40 was
Hold
either.
On.
I did, too.
Let's
I know exactly what 10W40
is. Danny or I know the answer.
Mm. All right.
That'll be interesting. All right.
All right. Motor oil, by the way. Gay walk.
Wait. What's that spray that makes everything all
over? WD-40.
Oh.
It's a confusing... All right, anyway.
I'm sorry.
We'll take a break.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. We sent gay Bill the board op out to West Hollywood to ask gay men some questions that every man should know the answer to. It's Gay Walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Damn, confusion.
That was a 3 and a 6.
You're right.
Making 36.
Right, no. Okay.
That confused him even more.
That'll work.
Let's talk about some gay walking.
Yeah, gay walking. So how does this work? Well, I think we just explained how it works.
Well, by the way, just so you'd like to know that 10, or the first number, is the oil's viscosity under warmer conditions. And the W, a lot of people think stands for weight, but it actually stands for winter or winter rating. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd let you know that off the top of my head, not off of MySpace.
Danny, not nearly as gay as we thought.
See, Bored Up Bill went out a-talking to some of his gay brethren, mm-hmm. and he asked them some questions, like jaywalking, only it's gay walking.
All right, so we'll guess on whether they know it or not. Let's have our first question.
It's gay walking. He knows what guys like. He knows what guys want. He knows what guys like. He's pre-op, Bored Up Bill.
Nice.
All right, where
the
are we?
The waitresses are rolling over in whatever grave they may be in.
How many periods in a hockey game?
I know this.
All right, how many periods in a hockey game?
I won't say because I don't know if Danny knows.
Now, here's the question. It's not about whether we know. It's about whether we think the gay man knows.
I don't think that the gay man knows.
I'm going to go with my new slogan for this game, and that is, the Mo doesn't know.
The Mo doesn't know. And Bill, now, he went to a gay bar, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And you spoke to exclusively gay men.
Well, I tried, but these lesbians gave me some guff for being sexist.
But I don't want any of them helping out any of the gay guys with hockey trivia.
Oh, don't worry, it doesn't.
Oh, okay, all right. All right, I'm going with doesn't know.
Doesn't know. Mo doesn't know.
How many periods in a hockey game?
It all depends on how many women are there. Da-da-da-da. No. Four, yeah.
See, three.
Three? I didn't know.
Gay life is a better life. Do not kid yourself. Those who feel sorry for the gays, you really shouldn't.
I'm all about being bi. I think everybody should be bi. That you could have sex constantly if you were bi. If guys were as hot to you as chicks, you could just do it constantly.
Yeah, let me ask this. I never thought about this heavy question, but when you're gay and you masturbate, it's kind of like you're having sex. I mean, when you're a dude, you pretty much masturbate and you have to think about women. I don't mean a dude, but when you're a straight dude, you have to think about women.
Right.
When you're a guy and you're masturbating, you're thinking about the thing that you're touching. It's somewhat attached to somebody else, but it's right there. I mean, I had some boobies and I was masturbating.
Right.
Jesus Christ. I mean, you know what? You make me sick, Bill. The world is your oyster.
Would it be worth getting implants?
Yeah. No, done and done.
Can we move forward? I want to get Gretchen implants on her back for when we go slow dancing.
Next. Next one. Let's see.
What was the name of the first Rambo movie?
I have a guess, but I don't know.
I know what it is.
I know.
Do we think the gay man knows?
I'm going to go no.
I say
just for fun, I'm going to say the Mo knows.
Yes, he knows.
So we got two yeses and a no. We're all tied up. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
What was the name of the first Rambo movie?
First Blood.
Oh.
Sweet.
I've fallen behind.
Here's why
now.
I knew he knew, because I know. And the only reason I know it's the first one is because it has the word first
in it. Yeah, that's how I knew.
All
otherwise,
right.
I wouldn't have known.
So, I am 1-1. You guys are 2-0. Let's keep going.
Wow, we're killing.
Kingsford is a brand of what?
I know this one.
You know, everyone knows. Do they know? Well, we can say it's charcoal.
Do they
know?
Oh,
I hadn't even thought of it. Yeah, of course it's charcoal.
I'm going to say no.
You say no, Danny? Danny?
I'm going to say that nobody throws a barbecue like a good homosexual.
I just thought of that. I might have to change my answer.
I'm going to go the Mo knows.
I'm going to stick with no.
No, Danny says yay, I say yay, and the gay says...
Kingsford is a brand of what?
Kingsford is charcoal.
Oh.
Damn.
Dude, just hang with the buddies. You want to know what gays know? You talk to me.
All right. Wait a minute. Did I get that
I'd
one
right? I bedazzled
those
front pockets myself.
All right. So, we're tied up 2-1. Danny.
With 3-1.
Who has his thumb up, is 3-0, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Let's go with the next one.
Who is playing in this year's Super Bowl?
Wow. How can you not know that yet?
I'm only positive of one of the teams, and it's from a bad sketch on a comedy show about a guy who doesn't know who's playing.
So you're saying he doesn't know?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm babbling endlessly. I'm saying the Mo knows.
Yes. I'll go with yes, T.
I'm going with yes.
All three All yes. Three. Let's hear it.
Who is playing in this year's Super Bowl?
Football teams.
It's Indiana and Chicago. Yeah, it's the Chicago Bulls, Indiana Colts.
Chicago Bulls.
Do we accept Bulls?
His straight buddy yelled out Chicago, and then he turned into Bulls. I'm sorry, did not know. We all lost. We all lost that
said,
one.
Said Indiana, and technically in the state.
What, now where, well, good point. Now, Danny.
Yeah.
You 3-1?
Yes.
T, 2-2?
Yep.
And I'm 2-2 as well. Let's do the last one.
Oh, I didn't want to get this right so bad. Scott Hamilton was a professional in what sport?
Well, look, you can't stereotype.
He knows.
He knows?
I'm going to say that he not only knows, he's going to say he knows that he lost a testicle to cancer, made a comeback, and on his first performance did a backflip on the ice and landed on a perfect 10. That's what I'm going to say the Mo knows.
I'll go with doesn't know because it's my only chance to catch up.
Scott Hamilton was a professional in what sport?
Skating.
I'm out.
Homo.
Oh, the peanut gallery.
I heard skating and homo, too correct. I'd like to get 2 points for that.
Well, that's it. So you want, so Danny, wait, now Danny, did you go 4-1 there?
4-1.
4-1. Danny, you are the champion.
Nice work.
Of gay walking.
If you want to know what a gay guy's thinking, you come right to me, baby.
Gay walking.
He's pre-op, board-op, Bill.
Nice job, Bill.
Nice job,
Thank
Bill.
You. Thank
we'll
you
try that again soon. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, personal slice of life from my file, which is I got to take my kid, Sonny, the young boy, shaped like a butt plug. I got to take the young butt plug. There he is now. One more.
That was recorded when he was much younger. Does he sound a little different now?
No. Taking him to see if he needs to be fitted with a corrective helmet because there's a little asymmetry in the skull, and everything can be fixed. Your teeth, your skull, your nose, your life, your attitude. We can all, we'll make you, or we can break you when you're young. I mean, I can fix your teeth, and I can turn you into a racist because you're malleable.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You've
seen that on the Jerry Springer Show, those little tiny kids
no
in the Klan suits.
To self, corrective orthodonture, and turn kid into white supremacist. Okay.
By the way, my first wife didn't speak English very well, and I used to teach her English wrong. I thought it was so funny.
Well, what would you make her say?
Just stuff like, if the police ever pull you over, you should say F you immediately. That's just the first polite thing to say to police. Stuff like that.
Bonaducci, what do you know about run-ins with the law?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
please.
Well, Adam, you told us earlier that you wanted to say F you to the whole helmet thing because you found it, A, possibly unnecessary, but B, sort of embarrassing.
The kid is going to have to wear a orthopedic helmet. And if he does, I'm putting the Rams logo right on the side. But he's going to have to wear an orthopedic helmet. And here's the deal. He wears it 23 hours out of the day, comically, for 3 months. But that is going to be the longest 3 months of my life with the kid with the orthopedic helmet. And I guess the 1 hour out of the day the helmet's not on, you just drag a crab comb through his hair to see what kind of lice you can pull out.
Yeah.
But he's wearing a helmet. Now, the thing that's funny about this is we got a calendar from the company that makes the helmets. And, of course, it's filled with toddlers wearing hockey helmets looking as pathetic as kids you've ever seen. And I just thought to myself, not every business needs a calendar. Look, if you sell tools, if you sell hot rods, if you're in the fire department, if you have custom collars for Labrador pups, go ahead and come out with a calendar.
Right.
If you make hemorrhoid pillows, no need. It's not like we're not going to figure out. It's not like, hey, what day is it, honey? I don't know. Do you know what day? I don't know.
Look at the ass calendar.
Go get the calendar with the retarded kid in the space helmet. That's going to tell us.
I was Miss June and colostomies are us.
Well, just so you know, Adam Carolla, sir,
Let
me tell you this. I didn't think about this because you think about skull reshaping over years. I didn't know. He won't even be in school. He won't even have any friends.
Yeah, better
Why
do
take
it
a
now?
Chance? Just do it.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something Ozzy could handle with just a couple Percocet and a bench vise. Well, I'll use a C clamp because I'm in a fan of that. I feel like I could use some duct tape and some tongue depressors and make my own helmet because I know this thing.
Yes.
This helmet is going to be $2,800 if it's a penny.
Yep.
It won't be covered by insurance, and it'll be less helmet than the one they have down at Val Surf for your kid to skateboard with. Right.
Well, to the naked eye, does his head look misshapen?
One ear is in Glendale and the other's in Burbank. That's
so
the way
people come
really?
Over and scream.
Yeah. Aww. No, well, first off, it was funny because my wife was filling out the application and she's like, social security number and weight and stuff like that. And then one of the questions was, is his neck misshapen or is his neck whatever? And I said, what neck? His head attaches directly to his shoulder.
He's a bobblehead.
He actually has no neck. I have no idea if he has a neck. I've never seen it. So at 1:30 today, we're taking him to the cranial specialist, and I will give you a full report tomorrow, but I can tell you right now how it's going to turn out. The guy's going to say, well, it's not like he's going to die if he doesn't wear the helmet, and he'll probably be okay, but if it was my kid, I'd go ahead and do it. That will say to me, dodged a bullet, saved $2,300, don't need the helmet. That will scream to my wife, we must put the helmet on him now. And then the argument will ensue on the way home. And this is what you'll hear coming from the back seat.
Okay.
Come on, buddy.
Aww.
Come on, buddy. Be prepared. Listen, I can make my own helmet. I'll tell you what. Give me that six-pack cooler over there. Yeah, the Coleman. All I need is a acetylene torch and that thing, some duct tape, some baling wire. This kid will not be made fun of.
Isn't it going to be difficult to keep this helmet on a kid 23 hours when you know it's uncomfortable for
if it buckles
one.
Under their chin? No, it won't because they're really afraid of that instinctually.
He has no chin.
I would feel so bad. Yeah. Just keeping a helmet on. It would be hard for me to have the discipline.
He's such a little kid. There's really, I don't see the downside. Like, if you said my son, now Dante, in kindergarten, very popular young man in kindergarten, you know, plays all the games. If all of a sudden he had to go to wear a helmet, this would be a huge ordeal.
He'd be a pariah.
Better now.
But at, what, 6 months old?
Yeah.
No, he's
9 months old?
Seven. I don't know. I stopped counting.
The point is
we need to take a break. You'll get a full update on this. It's really a coin toss. I really can't tell if he's going to get it or not, but I'll tell you, and we'll be right back after this. Well, there you go, everybody. Emmett Smith, I want to thank him. Sprint NFL Mobile. I want to thank Petros Papadakis. Pros versus Joes, Thursday night, 10 o'clock on Spike, and also the good people at Honey Baked Ham. Got himself a combo platter over there, 15% off. They got ribs.
Is that what that was for? I didn't understand what it was for. It was great, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Honey Baked Ham. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm going to rub Miracle Whip all over your tanned ass and make sweet love to you. And I don't care if Chris Hansen interviews me in your kitchen before I do it.